You're ready.
We'll call the city, Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. Move on to public comment. Anybody that's here evidently is on the agenda. So we'll move on to the agenda review. If there are any items to add.
Mayor and Council, just a few things I got is under, discussed it under Public Works report. City shop repairs basically got two estimates for corrections in the ball basement around the city shop. The other thing is just updated claims list, which can be discussed under item number 13.
Anything else from the council?
I move to adopt the agenda as amended.
Is there a second? Motion made and seconded to adopt the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We move on to the fire department report. Chief Buckentine.
Association's president, and I've been requested by the group to request an annual raise as we've done in the past. And the consensus from the fire department is to ask for a $25 raise. And what I've done at last year, I was asked to get a report from Bondhar what the difference would be, what the outlaw call they would be. Which is very difficult to do. But what I have figured out is I got one with 1600 and I just put in the 1625 alone, the exact same form. So it's apples to apples of what the SC 13 looks like this year. Now, this year there's going to be changes to SC 13. Basically, at the 1600, the city contribution would be $14,511. With a $25 raise, the city contribution would be $15,677, about $1,500 per year. We look at it as kind of a cost of living raise, you know, raising it up $25 per year. But it's, of course, it's up to the council and the budget for Group 39. So that's our request for the association.
What was the number for, which would be the 18 contribution? So it'd be the...
At the 1600 level, it's $14,511.
Yeah. And then what's would the... with the increase?
At the level... it's $15,677. And basically, what like I said, what I did is I just left everything apples to apples and just switched the benefit level. The one thing I've talked about the higher about, the contribution level is higher this year. But what he said was we had $30,000 loss in investment last year. That's why that number is up higher this year. He also has to make a change because he made an error on it. Hard to believe, but it's going to be in that ballpark. But he made an error. and we're going to have them try to fix it again. But that's an issue I deal with each year. And the bright side, he has completed all of our taxes, all of our business filings, everything, the fire gate. It's supposed to be updated, which a couple of which Jeremy and I need to sign, but I can't access it yet. So I'm working with him and the state to get at that. The other ones are all done. Then we need this form here updated. It's officially move out, which is out in here. And then,
have you seen his email today? Or have you seen the email from the state? It didn't come till 5:30. Okay, then. Take a look at that, because it looks like the city contribution for this year is changing. I got an email from Mr. Johnson from the state. Didn't come till about 5:30 tonight, so you probably haven't seen it. But, it was for the SC-15 form. So it looked like it was 9100-something. 9108. And now he says it's going to be 8817. So I don't know what caused that change or what that was, but that's something to look into and check on.
All right, I'll take a look.
I'm
sure he called something that wasn't
in there. So it's to the good. If it's right.
Yeah, it's better there.
Yeah.
And supposedly this one is to go down.
Okay.
That's what he told me. But not until I see the official one.
Right.
The council knows that, and everybody knows. The frustration that we share with Vonda Hart and everything. But again, we get a good deal. Financially, we save a lot of money when we bring it with the others. They say, well, what's the other one? They increase going to para, but that's not a popular thing in our area. But there's not many other options, as we've looked at other accounts too. And we haven't found anything suitable. Well, that's what I have for the raise. And is there any other questions you guys have about me about the bond IR reports?
Kind of the same story. It's kind of the same story.
Now I keep emailing back and forth and calling, and we get reports in.
I guess at this point, the increase in budget time here will.
Yeah, it just would be nice to know to have that final number here by September 27th. We'll probably meet again, but I'd like to at least have that final number so it's set for when we set the proposed levy.
That should be possible. And I can't see it not being able to.
Any questions for Gary?
No, thank you.
I guess you're asked for one.
Relief account, I just put that on. Everyone in the room knows it's been frustrating. We talked to the city's auditor this spring, had them give us a quote to try. That would be nice, they're all on one page. That quote was over double the price on that. We brought that up to the department, and they said, well, really not gaining much over double the price. When we switched, was that 5 years ago? At that time, it was over $8,000 for our audit. So as frustrating as it is, we've been looking for the cost of it to get the same reports in. It just hasn't been worth it. I think quite as much. Born SC-60, is that what you kind of discussed? I wonder.
Yeah. That's kind of what Gary was going over.
That's
for city's contribution.
As far as the Minnesota Valley Electric grant, put in for a few grants. We've got $1,000 for a replacement bottle for the air packs. That grant is in. I believe it's done already. All they had asked for was that they had a an advertisement. I think Jeremy put it in the packet.
We hung it up.
We hung it on the billboard over there. That's all they had asked, to get the word out to people to put their money in. What it is say your monthly bill comes to $72.43. Well, they just bill you the $73, and then that extra 67 cents, 57 whatever, gets put into this grant, and that's where they get that money. So we got $1,000 from them. DNR, we just got a $5,000 matching grant from them. That was also for replacement bottles. Bottles have been ordered, so they're in. I had them do two separate bills, so one is set at the $5,000 as soon as that's paid. Between me and Jeremy, we'll have to finalize that grant monies. We'll give them full proof that we paid $5,000, they'll send back a reimbursement for $2,500.
How much do each bottle cost?
Bottles we're going to now are just over $1,000. I think they're $1,004 to replace a bottle.
You ordered the whole thing, you got two bottles with it? The whole set up?
That was a few air packs. But we had.
I know what you talked about. I didn't know what it was.
What they want to do, the salespeople, NFPA, the thing deals, want us to be replacing our air packs because they're coming on 15 years old. In 15 years, their bottles expire, and they say with technology and everything, they want you to use the air packs. Between the fire department, the officers, we just decided for a town our size, for the use our gifts, we just can't see spending $6,000 on an air pack when the air packs are fine, it's just the bottles are going to expire. So at this time, we're going to just replace the bottles, hope to get another 15 years out of the packs. I think we've been putting a couple $100 a year in their maintenance fees and replacing. And at $300, $400, $500 a year, it's not worth it. So spend $6,000 on a new one, and we can replace smaller issues at that price. So at this time, we're looking to go to a bigger, to a 45-minute bottle instead of a 30-minute bottle. And just replacing the model now, trying to get more life out of our air packs. And with that, the air bottles, we ordered 8 bottles. They had arrived already. That was 5 from the DNR grant, 1 from Minnesota Valley Electric. 1, we had some money from Xcel, and we had some money left over from the year. And one of them will be bought with money from the pork chop and steak fry money. The relief is going to buy one bottle for that.
Okay.
We ordered them and they arrived last week already. Do you have any questions on that or anything else? Next, we have the power pole. We're looking to do a different class of firefighter. Can you guys see that good? One more.
There you go.
That's hard to read. We've been discussing this with the officers and department owners just recently. It's a growing trend of firefighters of retention, recruitment, it's been all over the state, it's been a problem. No one's really been giving us an answer on how to solve it. So what we've been looking at doing is setting up a utility firefighter. What they would be is basically your truck drivers, pump operators, accountability personnel, a rehab personnel. Would make them get the EMR, so it'd be medical responders, accidents, they can help us with traffic control, runners. Basically, the vaccine personnel, what we'd be looking for is people that would not go interior attack or hazmat. So everything else on the fire scene would be for us. What we feel our need is, We need to add responders. There's needs we have on scenes that we need to fill. We're going to allow more opportunity for people in town or people in our area to join and become a firefighter. Give them a chance to help give back. We're afraid that we might be missing out on some really good firefighters by having our standards too strict. As we have guys retiring right now, a lot of them would basically be considered utility firefighters. It's just the way we have to train them now. We're training them to a different standard to what some of the guys retiring are. And we're losing these guys, we're losing tanker operators, we're losing some of that vaccine personnel. And we're just afraid we're not going to be able to fill them slots. As I said, recruit retention has been a growing problem across the state. Actually, reading some of the articles that's been across the country, it's all over, people are having problems with it. And the big question is, where is Hamburg Fire going to be in 5 years if we don't do something to start allowing more people to join? The requirements we've been looking at, we'd still have to go through an initial firefighter training that the department would set forth. They must maintain all their trainings as if they were a full-fledged department member, which they would be once they joined, but there'd be no skipping out on trainings or nothing. Even our interior trainings, they still have to help us with filling bottles, helping with accountability, helping with stuff on scene. They would also have to get their EMR certificate and hold carry their certificate through. And one big question would be, so we don't come into a problem that we have too many utility firefighters and not enough interior guys, what we had discussed is setting a 75% minimum on the department. So say right now we're at, say we'd be at 24 right now. Once we get to 8 utility firefighters, we wouldn't be able to take any more on again until we get over that 75% threshold. Some of the restrictions we would have that they wouldn't be able to do would be, they'd be no interior attack, which we wouldn't train them to, and they would know that going into it. If you know hazmat, which also we would train them to, they knew that, and we wouldn't have to do that. According from the League of Cities, we'd have to have a policy, and we'd have to make it firm, and we'd have to stick to it. We have to let our mutual aid departments know, so when we're responding, they would know we have guys coming that are not interior attack ready. And we have to find a way to differentiate them while on scene so they don't get grabbed and get expected to go in. I'm feeling the color of the helmet would be the biggest problem we have in the department, but what I thought is just black helmets. As now we have white helmets are chiefs, red helmets are captains. Yellow helmets are our firefighters. Red helmets with dots, or yellow helmets with dots are our rookies. We just thought we'd have a different color to differentiate so that we know who those members are. The benefits we see with this would be the opportunity, both for us to take on new members, for us to better respond, and also to allow more people from the community to become a firefighter and to get the opportunity to join and be a part of it. Talking to a few agencies, we had thought we could separate a benefit level and differentiate that. They said there's no way a firefighter is a firefighter, whether they be utility or whether they be a 1001 interior. They'd have to be full benefits. One benefit they would have is it'd be a little less initial training in the beginning because they wouldn't have to do all the interior and some of the required, because a lot of the required initial is interior, a lot of it is hazmat. I talked about, especially the smaller departments, it's that 160 hours initial training that's hard to get people to join. I know that's the problem I have. Everyone's willing to do it until they find out how much they got to give up to get on.
What would that change in hours from that 160 to?
Well, I talked with South Central, and the hours is a little. We were talking about how a price would work. They said they could price it at 3 hours instead of 4. When it comes down to classes, I met with one of the instructors. He found out about it. He called me, wanted to help with it. Because you're looking at about half the class that you can cut out by taking out the interior.
So roughly 80 hours less?
About. So it was going to be, yeah, fair enough, 80 hours. Yeah. One of my hangups was going to be was how to pay for this, because currently MBMTE covers all our costs directly through them. So when our new guys go through, the bill goes straight to the state. We don't see it other than any overages, which I think last year, the ones that went through Carbon County was $250 a piece we paid. I think the ones that went through South Central was about half, $625 a piece. And that's just how they worked it with the state. So. I was afraid what that cost would come on us. I met with the fire marshal's office. They said they could not pay for it that way, but through our MBFTE money that we receive, we could use that money that we get the bill, we pay it, we submit that to the state, and they reimburse us back. So in the end, we still, it would all be reimbursed back through the state. And if they would want to become someone wanted to be a utility firefighter, came back and said, I want to do interior. There's a few options we'd have to work out yet if they could go back and make up the classes to cover them other 80 hours worth of classes. Or you could test out too and go to the state school and have a 1 day, 8 hour seminar to train, and then they have a 4 hour test. So that'd be another option if down the road they wanted to do interior. They could go back, test out, and if they did it, then they would become an interior person, and then numbers would not fall up against their 75% again. Just to let you know where we're at. What just got started was, I think in July, at Sibley County Chiefs meeting. All the chiefs in the county, we got discussing this topic, and none of us really had an answer. We all kind of have the same problem coming, and looking down the road, we're all looking at the same issues. From that, we started cooking something up. Myself and Kathy Seward went down and met with the state fire marshal's office just to say, this ain't gonna work, tell us why it won't work, tell us what we gotta do to make it work. They were very helpful. Big part was the money-wise, they're the ones that helped us figure out how we could afford this, how we can make it usable. Like they said too, there's been no, we all have the same problem across the state. After looking at it, Director Flaherty had said that he didn't see any real reason why this couldn't work. I had also called Troy Walsh from Louisa City. They're Troy, so we know each other pretty well. He said, tell us why it won't work, what won't work. So he helped us out with a few things to tweak it a little. He said from the city end, we just need to cover our butt. He said to do that, we need a policy written. It just needs to be clearly stated. They wouldn't do any interior, they wouldn't do hazmat, and we would train them as such. He says, if we do that, we have a policy and we follow that. He says, he sees no reason why it would be a problem from their end. South Central might be the hang up right now. It met with their director a couple months ago. He was helping us do a fee schedule, how it would work, how we could train him, what classes would work. Problem is, he's retiring October 1st, so we might have to start over again with the new director to see how it would work. But also through them, and one of their instructors, like I said, called. He wanted to help with it. 2 weeks ago, last week. We went through this class schedule. He helped with some of the stuff he felt is needed, isn't needed. We were able to shave a lot of the classes out with his help. And then finally, Hammered Fire. This is where I thought the biggest hang-up would be, because we'd have to take these members on, and they would have to get treated full-fledged, full benefits. And I didn't know how our guys would take it. I think nobody had anything against it. They all agreed too, we need to do something for the future. And they said if a few people got out of a little bit of training initially, but then they get some of them on, there's nobody against it. They said they'd be fine with that. All we would need to do yet, we would need approval from council to move forward. We would need to write up a written policy. We would need to finalize our required classes that we would need to set them through. And down the road, we'd have to set up a class fee schedule with the college over how to do it, which, as I said, is going to be on hold now as a director and director. And then we'd have to start recruiting. And this would not be our first priority. We're still looking for our 1001 interior guys first and foremost. If someone can't make it, people with families, people afraid to hide, some of us are holding, instead of not letting them join, this is a way to pick up some responders. That's all I have for this right now.
Justin, so with this, have any other cities implemented this yet, or are they looking at it?
There's nobody doing anything. Talking with the state and the league, even with South Central, nobody. So it would be basically the trial run of this program.
Do you have a number in mind for how many you want to add, or is it just kind of open-ended?
You see that 75% is how we keep that number. Right now we're at 25 members. We could take on 8. But as I said, that's not our priority. We want to take on the next 8 that way. But there would be, I think with the new policy, what we had talked from the League of Cities memorandum that they sent, they don't want us to set a number of what our roster can be anymore. But we've always kind of had an unofficial rule of about 30.
Okay, so you have 25 members now, and you want to go out and recruit 5 more people. That's what you're trying to tell me? Or are you going to wait till it drops to 75% of your 25 and then go out and recruit these firefighters? I guess I'm looking at the number that you're looking to recruit right now.
Well, yeah. We've got people that would say they join, whether saying it's ours or ladders or claustrophobic. Just trying to cut that excuse out of what we're looking at.
So if they're at 24, they could take 8.
And then after that, as people retire, likely we drop below that. We just couldn't take any more utility firefighters on until we get over that 75% threshold. So the number isn't really the issue. It'd be more the percentage of our roster.
But it's kind of an open-ended type thing for the most part.
Right. And right now, it's not that we're not recruiting. We're still recruiting. It's just we've got 5 open spots that we don't have 5 people knocking on our door. And that's kind of where this is stemming from, is nobody has people knocking on their doors anywhere around us saying, I want to join. We're just trying to open up another avenue for them. And it's just getting the standards, my thoughts, are getting to be, when I joined, I think it was 90 hours I went through, and then, Dick, when you joined, I don't think they had anything.
No.
And that's what we're looking at. And
well, I mean, you had firefighter Robin too.
Right, and that's where we're at, guys. That guy at the 20-year mark, they're retiring. We're trying to replace them with people that have to go through almost twice as much training.
So the big issue here is the people that are retiring are probably retiring quicker than you're replacing them. And the problem you had then is, you know, 20 years ago when all these people joined, it was what, half, third, fourth of the training requirements. Yeah. And the big restriction now, you know, is the training. But the end goal is to get everybody, you know, if you can get them on as utility, kind of an end goal would be to try to get them to go through all the training, right, if they're willing. I mean, just because of the time restraint. I mean, it is a lot of hours, 160 hours to put in
5 months. 5 months. Every Thursday.
I mean, that's a big commitment. And we're not Minneapolis. You know, so it is hard for small cities, you know, to recruit people.
And some of the ones that are retiring they're not interior guys, and they haven't been for a while, so we're trying to replace tanker drivers, pump operators, some of the vaccine guys with guys that can do everything. It's a good theory, be nice to have, but if I'm at 500, it's hard to pull 30 people out of them that are willing to give that commitment. And we don't have the second generation we used to have. Now we're getting people moving into town, knocking on their doors, saying, hey, come on, it's great, by the way.
Have you talked to any other cities or chiefs about this and what their thoughts are on it? I mean,
I was hoping that like Sibley County's chiefs meeting was going to be before this, okay, but they canceled it for lack of agenda items. But I think that's where we're going to have more. With Carver County chiefs will be.
I'm just looking at if we can sit down, pool with other cities, so we don't have to invent the wheel all ourselves.
Well, and this would, how it would work with the 1001 training, we could put people in, every city, if they do this, they have their own program. So you could pick and choose which classes you want them to go to. Okay. But we could put them through the 1001. So as they're doing the training through Sibley County, we can put our guys to whatever nights we want them to go to. So that they wouldn't have to set up a separate training, they just pop these in there. And that's where I think it's going to go more so with the Sibley County departments. We can wait on it too. I'm fine with that. It's just
the one-day test out here, you're talking about 8 hours and 4 hours for the test. Is that something that the state reimburses the firefighters back for the firefighters that go through that?
Yep, that's state training. Okay. Or it's fire training. They have to pass the test to get the certification, not to get reimbursed. It's the same as state school at Mankato, that they do usually 5 or 6 of those go to the 2-day school. It's just the same 12-hour class that most of the schools do already.
The only reason I ask that question is I can see where someone say, oh, wow, they need to be firefighter. But knowing the fact that they just shave 80 hours off of their normal training they would have had to go after them with the idea that they're going to come on as a full-fledged one anyway, go through the normal training. And then it puts the city in the hook for some dollars
down the road
to have them come on versus where they had to go after the normal route, this is what we have to pay for.
Well, you still reimburse back.
Right, that's why I asked.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, it's still.
It's just a different paper trail,
it's
right?
It's just the city pays it up front, we get reimbursed back through the state. It's that MBF money we got last month. The last year was $4,000, we had the extra $1,000. This year it was $4,800, is one of the awards all of us. And that is August 1st, I believe, the year end of that. Okay.
So when you're recruiting, are you going to offer these recruits the option of being the utility guy or the 10,001 or the 1,001 hazmat / interior guy? Is that it? I mean, I guess the only problem I see with that is, I mean, if you go out and recruit 10 guys and they all want to be utility and none of them want to go through the heavy rigorous training that the other guys do, pretty soon you're going to run out of your interior guys, are you not? I mean, you're going to have to, at some point in time, you're going to have to say to all these utility guys, you know, we need some of you guys to step up and become interior men.
Well, that's where it's 75%.
That's a 75%.
A lot of that, I know some of our guys, most of them said they would have went through it all anyway. Because, to be honest, the whole point of the environment is they're rushing home. It's there for their rush.
What thoughts have you given to the chief as far as if through natural attrition, you now have that 75% skewed towards the utility. Now, let's say you have 24 firefighters on the force. At the point in time, we had the right percentage. So we had, let's say we had 12 firefighters for utilities. And at that point in time, we were well within our range of tolerance. Now through attrition, now we're at 50%. Are you going to cut utility firefighters, or how would that work?
You couldn't cut them. That's where you just couldn't take on anymore after that 75% threshold. That was kind of how we went.
To avoid that, issue.
So yes, we could fall below that. We just couldn't take any more on.
I guess that's kind of what I was kind of, you worded a little more eloquently than I did, but that was kind of the point I was getting at. So.
It could happen, but that's how we get around. If you just couldn't take on any more of that.
Well, that sounds like a great fix for a situation you guys are facing right now.
When we looked at it, it's an option. There's going to be no extra cost for this. I really don't see us taking on the next 8 this way. And if possible, I'm just going to say forge forward and bring back the end result after you do all the other legwork behind it. As well, eventually, obviously, because we said before, we'll have to add this in the handbook.
Well, and that's kind of why I asked now if it's something we want to roll as quick or late or just.
I think you hit a touch point that you may have to overcome when the director changes in October.
Right.
You may run into resistance with the new director.
Yeah, so we had a really good verbal agreement that was going to work out very, very well for us.
Then would Troy help with writing a policy then?
Yeah, he said he'd look at it and write up the policy. He said they had pretty simple policies. No material, not going to be pretty short.
I don't see a problem to proceed. So.
I don't either. I think it's a good thing as long as, you know, the things we've discussed is we touch base on making sure that you keep a balance. They have enough people for interior versus, you know, utility. It's probably your biggest obstacle that you're going to have to deal with.
Any motion to proceed with this with the storage, everything?
Well, just to proceed.
Some kind of policy that can back.
Yeah, I think with that approved.
Well, I'll make a motion that you go ahead and proceed with this and see if you can get your procedures set up for the policy.
Motion made and seconded to proceed with the utility firefighter process. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Then, kind of how we sort of flow this into the handbook, I think everyone should have got the handbook. Anyone have anything to add to that? Or?
Motion made and second to approve the changes to the handbook. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Finally, I just looked you guys in budget meeting. I don't know if you have any questions for us with anything.
Well, one of the issues we had was when we replaced actual air packs, did the two bottles come with that pricing that we had built in? And they do. So I just wanted to verify that when we buy an air pack, what we figure about $7,000.
Yeah,
a piece for the air pack and the two bottles. But we're looking at, you know, 15 years from now, so.
Right.
And replacing them.
For now, we've been replaced through smaller grants. Our bottles are due in 2019, so we've been trying to
get going now. If we can get some smaller grants, hopefully we can pay for one majority of them. Paid for.
Yeah, totally.
32 we have right now. We've got 8 or 10 in a couple months. We're waiting back on another grant. It's too easy, right? For grants right now, for smaller ones.
So with the first budget workshop, what we added in to the items needed was the air pack bottles, $6,000. We looked at 6 bottles a year with the 8 bought now. So I think we were looking at, what, 28 total was kind of the ballpark.
Depends what we needed. 32, we don't know that we needed.
You know, give or take. And then we were looking at grant possibilities yet, you know, hopefully each year. So 6,000 is in the budget right now for replacing bottles. So we figure that's about 6 a year. And then radios, we've talked about, one of the questions that was brought up was the life of the radios. Well, I think me and you talked, Justin, we were hoping, you know, that we could get 10 years out of them. But if they break or they break down, but in the for the next 2 years, no maintenance?
Last year he said it was 2 years and some months. There wasn't a set date on anything where they won't look at them anymore.
So, I mean,
there's no set date. But
we're not looking to replace them all at one time. So we're just kind of looking here to replace them as needed. So what we have in the budget is to replace 3 a year right now. That's what we have in for next year's budget. So.
I got a question now. Do you have any radios? Is it phone? Does it come over your phone?
Just a page. The radios have nothing to do with that. We still need all the radios yet.
Okay. My question was, if it came over your phone, if you can't communicate with guys.
Right.
So were there any other budget items that the fire department needs that we didn't touch on in the workshop or?
We've met before. Okay.
Council, anything yet?
I know we set the timeline for the estimates for the new resolar pace to get that.
You're getting close right now. Just waiting to get back and get close, so I don't know if we'll be there in October or not. Or can you hold?
Do you need that for the budget right now?
Well, as long as it's not over, you know, 10 grand, we looked at using the monies we've set aside for community center expansion. We discussed that at the budget workshop, using those monies for that.
So what I got from preliminary, I think they closed, I just had a few people come off the road.
Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you.
I see Ms. Swenson here. Yeah. We'll move on to Mr. Black, SCH.
Just by way of introduction, my name is Justin Black with SCH Engineering, and there's a couple of agenda items here. I don't know which one you'd like me to start with first.
Let's take Timberline Wood Products. Why don't we discuss that while Ryan's here? So,
okay. Jeremy did email me a sketch plan of the Timberline Wood Products development plan, and he also asked me to assemble some cost estimates for extending sewer and water into that parcel. We prepared just some rough cost estimates just based on the information I had at hand. We didn't do any survey work or field work or anything like that. They're just ballpark estimates. But to extend an 8-inch water main and 8-inch sanitary sewer, we're in the ballpark of $45,000 to $50,000 to extend those utilities westward towards these lots. I know Jeremy also emailed me a couple of other questions regarding the driveway access themselves and whether curb and gutter should be extended or placing a culvert in the ditch. I think it would be best to review this with Carver County, since they're dealing with Carver County Road. is their right way. I would suggest setting up a meeting or at least emailing the drawing over to Representative Carver County. Get some input from Carver County first, and then based on that, we can make some decisions moving forward. Probably the only other thing that I recognize looking at this is we are more than 1 acre of new impervious surface, so it wouldn't trigger the MPCA requirements for stormwater management or stormwater bonding. So we need to take a look at that as a developer as far as how we would manage that stormwater. So as far as kind of a cursory review of looking at this, the dates and the sketch we have, that's about all I can report tonight, but I look forward to working with the owner and seeing what we can do to make this a reality.
Well, with that, Justin, one of the things I kind of looking at this, looking at the area as a whole, and I don't know, Brian, if you have any objections to this or not, or because with that parcel, with his drawing, we're kind of basically looking at three entries off 50. We'd like to keep it to one. And also, we'd like to be able to do it where we can bring a road in there, because if we have one plotted parcel, we want to be able to do it so we can have four or five parcels within that allotment of land with Donnie Dahman. So the thing we would like to do is maybe, and I just want to get your opinion on it, is if you had a road coming in, coming in, and that would come in behind you and provide access. So that way there's one road going in that could be teed off to other parcels. So that's kind of what me and Chris talked about, because we want to, so it's for future developments too to come in there. So another thing the city will have to look at is kind of plotting out that land in that area. Yeah, and I was going to pull that up. Open to your thoughts on that.
So you're proposing on buying that property then from down?
Well, that's if the city was looking.
I mean, that's like 20, I think you said 24 acres altogether.
I know that parcel there is 70 some, but I don't know if the city would be looking at buying all that.
We'd have to figure out what would be feasible to purchase for future expansion, or at least enter into maybe some type of future contract with Donnie in regards to that land. Because what the concern I have is that we start plotting pieces into that land piecemeal, and then when it comes time for actual expansion that we can really take a hold of, it doesn't make sense anymore. you know, from a logical standpoint of entrance and that. Plus, like I mentioned before, I don't think the county's going to be too happy on having multiple entrances off of that road. Just in dealing with them, with some of the other groups that I'm involved with when it comes to access to county roads and state roads, they don't like a lot of entrances and exits. Because at one point in time, or if you're going to have your business there, well, that's going to be a future industrial park, my guess is that they're going to want to put some type of turn lanes in there, whether it's a center lane making a turn lane or if it's right or left. And we're going to have to, if that's going to be our future industrial park, which it sounds like it was discussed in the past, those turn lanes are going to have to accommodate semis and other bigger vehicles going in there if that's truly going to be the future industrial area of Hampton. So, but I mean, it'd just be a reposition of what you have here. I think it's still very viable to put it there.
Do you have an entrance off of 15 or you're saying the entrance is
going to
come in from the back?
No, so it would be... So there'd be one entrance coming off of 50,
which would be on.
Well, the logical point would probably be coming off of, and Justin, you can help me out on this as far as that would make sense. I don't know what environmental rules are putting the road over the ditch, but being on the east side of the ditch, that seems like a logical spot to bring in, and then we would fork off this way with another road so then we could parcel out, and so Timberline could still be here, and then the storage still could be here. But then there would be a road coming this way. And then you could still, we would still have plots along the way here and plots along the way here for future expansion for more neighbors for two.
You know, even if we do yours, Brian, I really think the county, the main concern is the county's going to want to limit that to one entrance into that coming out of the county road. I mean, we don't know that. We'll have to, like Justin said, run this by the county, but I just, in talking with Justin and looking at it and other past things, when we dealt with Thamert too, when they wanted to redo all theirs at the end of town too, they wanted a turn lane put in and wanted to minimize the amount of entrances and exits. So that may be the only concern we have. But what Chris is talking about, when we do this, we also want to consider future usage in that area and access. So we don't just have, you know, a kerfuffle later trying to figure out how we're going to get in and out and plot the rest of that land. So we're trying to think a little bit ahead, but yet we want to work with you now currently to get something done, but we also have to look for the future. So
do I need to go to the county?
No, I'll work with, me and Justin will work on that issue.
I mean, this is two separate businesses is what I'm proposing. This isn't just all Timberland products. I'm thinking of doing a couple storage units as well.
Okay, I did not know that. So that would be separate from the business. That wouldn't just be storage for the business. Okay.
So you're saying with 20 or 50, we'd be looking at the backside along the business then?
Right.
Well, some of them, but you'd have some up front. You'd have some up front. It's no different than any business district you drive into. You got the ones up front and then the ones behind it.
Most businesses are going to have
to put the tender on the backside of their building.
You're going to put the
equipment
inside
first.
Oh,
yeah, definitely. Yeah, that is the plan.
What Justin's saying, when you come on private 50, you're going to see the backside of all the building.
No. No, you're not. You'll see the front.
Well, The front will still be out.
The front will still be facing the road. Okay, so you're going to have to face the other road here. You're going to have the main buildings facing this way. You know, this isn't in stone. This is a suggestion to how to get in here. Because say we do this and do all these, we don't want 18 entrances along County Road 50. Ain't going to happen. I can tell you that at the beginning. We need to figure out how to bring a main road in. Say you have a plot, okay? So you have it all plotted out.
You need to have kind of one road going in there. So what we are suggesting
is that the main building would be facing the main road. But what we're trying to do is bring a main road in and in. So you come in the back way, you know, to its parking lot versus, you know, or somehow you got to bring a frontage road in or something
I mean, you gotta do something to provide access, but what we want is just one, and it ain't the ideal parcel to plat something out either, but, you know, maybe you can help us on this, Justin. But, you know, we're kind of trying to keep it, so, you know, like I said, we don't, county's not gonna allow 10 entrances all along there.
Right. Any, direction you go is contact the county, find out what they will and will not allow, or what the requirements might be, and then, maybe almost a comprehensive planning type exercise where we can take a look at some different lot layouts or plans to accommodate these businesses that are ready to build, but also to look at what might this area look like in the future when there's four or five more businesses added. And we can put together some sketch plans. It's not a planned final design.
And the main reason to minimize the entrances is because of the traffic load, because it is a county road.
So I think there's probably a couple steps that need to take place here, but some future planning and just laying out some general lots and roads and taking a look at what makes sense both for the immediate future, but also down the road 10, 15, 20 years might be a good approach.
So Brian,
something we can help you with.
Sorry, would this be one parcel, or would you split it into two separate parcels?
Yes, I'm going to split it into two.
Okay.
And for a time element, I mean, I can imagine you're going to want to wait 5 years to do this.
What is your timeline? No, I don't think we'd want to push this out too long if we have an opportunity to add some industry in town. But we do need a little time to run through all these items because the biggest issue we got is, you know, it's not our jurisdiction, not in city limits. We're dealing with a county road, not a city road. You know, now if that was, you know, it'd be easier if the road came in from another area. You know, you could have, you know, if it wasn't such a main artery, you know, it's just like you take any, like, you know, 212, they don't want, I know it's not the same comparison, but bear with me, it's the same thing. They don't want every business right off 212 and each of them having an entrance. I mean, they're going to have that same kind of concept with the county. So that's kind of why we've looked at the future use of being able to somehow bring one or two entrances in and out versus, you know, each parcel and business having an entrance and an exit. You know, and then of course the other thing is we're going to have to look at stormwater costs. I mean, that's another thing we got to consider. The council's going to have a big decision and is, you know, what kind of bill are we looking at? You know, does the demand meet the needs?
Would you like me to put together a proposal for a scope of services to do some comprehensive planning, some stormwater management review? Is that something you'd like me to put together and bring to the next office?
Yeah, kind of maybe a cost or like a, what to put away, engineering feasibility report or something together.
Okay, I can do that and bring it back to your next meeting and then. You know, in the meantime, to keep the process rolling, we can make some phone calls to Carver County and get some input from them. So this is a bed and water for a month. But
right.
Before we dive in too deep into some bigger planning efforts, I think you might have a proposal for that.
Yeah, it'll be by what we zone it, yeah. I mean, the main thing is just have to meet, you know, zoning ordinance requirements. So I don't know that in our zoning ordinance there's too much building restrictions. Right. that's all them things need to be taken into consideration when plotting that out. Because there might even be a separate development agreement for that area. Yeah, like I said, it's probably a good 6-month process, yeah.
If you're looking to reach out in spring, it's good that you're starting now to look at concepts, go through the proper agencies, whether it's Carver Colony or MPCA. So there's a number of steps that you can take. Now's the time to start.
So yeah, if you could put that together.
Yeah.
Well, I think ultimately before we go to that step, you know, we got to make sure it's feasible. I mean, we got to look at the feasibility of it and that the council's going to move forward on it. You don't want to force Brian to buy some land, annex it in, and go, sorry, we don't see it's feasible. I mean, you know, all the ducks got to be lined up here, and we got to make sure that it's going to be a go before you'd require somebody to annex land or purchase land and annex it in.
Okay, say the city don't have the money to go ahead with this, or we don't do it, and Brian still wants to go, are we going to still get water and sewer out of them or not?
That's a council decision. That's what the council's got to look at and decide.
That would be extending city utility.
And hence would be getting the estimate to kind of do some type of feasibility report here, so.
You want that feasibility anyway for a run water out there, which is something that we want to bring the property to city limits.
Oh yeah, but I'm wondering if it's probably the same thing that Brian has bought. Say the city don't go along with this.
Well, I think the first step we're taking by talking to the county about county of the 50s is the first step we need to take. Because even if you go to the township's still going to have to go to the county to find out what's going to be with the road. I mean, I think that's going to be the big hurdle right off the bat, is how many access points is the county going to allow you to have. Allow us or anybody to have a 50 and just have a short stretch of time. And of course, like Justin said, you know, right of ways are in there already. Do we need to put additional turn lanes in? You know, how much additional development is going to take place? I'm not sure the appetite the township is going to have if they have to fill a bunch of land in there and put a bunch of turn lanes in there when they know eventually at some point in time that's not going to be their tax base. I mean, I think this is the right step to get you where you're trying to get you back.
But the county is also, so they don't approve, so you don't do that development. And still wants to build the most direct get access. And you know that this might be an environment that they don't give their access only.
Whether we buy that land or not,
it's going to be
make a difference whether that county.
Yeah, it's going to be the same situation.
We're going to get the same answer he's going to get.
And same with the township.
He's got an access and he's convinced to do that. That's a second access. Whether they're going to take his access or they don't, that's what I'm getting at.
Well, that's what will all be discussed in our discussions with the county as a whole. I mean, it won't just be for Brian. I mean, we're doing it for Brian, obviously, but we also got to look at the future.
I mean, right now, on this proposal here, Brian's got three access on this. Our, but he's under the Southwest Transit Authority Group and some of the other transit groups that I've been on. When it comes to county roads, they're not real happy about giving a bunch of access points along the road, especially short county roads like that in there. And it would be hard to come in on top. I'd like to see this get done, but we want to do it in a way that's going to work for everyone too.
Brian, you have any other questions, concerns, or?
Yeah, with this whole stormwater, I mean, from one corner to the other corner, there's 13 feet of fall. I mean, somebody come out here and laser all that, and I mean, where's all that water going to go? I mean, to me, it obviously it flows downhill, so it's going to go to that ditch.
That's correct. But the what I was referencing was just the commercial agency as a state agency that requires for any time you develop more than an acre of pervious surface, hard surface on the parking lot of the building, you're required to control that stormwater and it did, so it doesn't even say it that it previously did. A lot of times required stormwater pond or some like drainage soil. So those are the requirements.
It's not something we're imposing. You know, it's, yeah.
But so it's not so much where the grade goes, but how you handle and maintain it. Is that something required by municipal inclusion before you have to do that?
So you see all the pretty little columns developing for the
That's
why the columns are along the highways and the developments, it's not aesthetics, it's a requirement.
So if it is two parcels, and I get under that 1 acre, then?
So we have a pollution control agency looks at it as a part of a larger development, so a one parcel or two parcels, they look at it as a comprehensive development. So even if you split this into two parcels, it's still total 1 acre. So either way, you're required to follow. And again, Carver County, soil, water, and Carver County agencies would also follow those requirements for the state.
I know, but it's just nowadays, just like we discussed with firefighters. You got training.
Yeah.
Same here. You got rules and regulations that you've got to go and abide by. And I know a lot of us don't like them, but they're there to meet future needs.
Right.
So.
I guess you prefer to hear it now just, rather than after the fact and needs to find out the needs.
You know, I wish we didn't have all these hoops jump through either. And we just go, yeah, do it. Okay, looks great. Yeah, let's do it. Sounds great. Because that's what I think. But yet, you know, we still have to abide by, you know, rules, regulations, and sanctions. So. So I guess for now, I'll just discuss with Justin. We'll put something together, send it to the county to get something back from that. And then I'll keep you in the loop, Brian, what they send us. I got your email, so I can send that, whatever they send to us, I can either scan that or forward the email to you, let you know on that, and then we'll continue to work on the, you know, the feasibility of it, and then kind of in the short time, council's going to have to look at some type of feasibility and decide if they're going to move forward with it. They need to let you know as soon as possible. Anything else on that? Anyone? So just a correction, and then we'll move forward, and then I'll stay in touch with you, Brian. Okay? Thank you. And then just go to do on the agenda instead of 2105. It should be 2015 street improvements. I don't think any of us will be around then, so.
So the 2015 street improvement project, Jeremy and I went out and visited the private drive at 416 Jacob Street. We did replace about 40 feet of curb through that driveway entrance. We matched into the curb on both sides, upstream and downstream sides, and maintained the longitude of the grade. These projects, where we're doing building overlay and spot curb replacement, is always a challenge because you're not replacing all of the curb. You match into what's there, match into existing grades. Jeremy showing a picture of the location. This is the segment of curb that was replaced. There was some cracking and settlement of the curb in this area. We replaced these panels through the driveway opening. like we did on other parts of the project. Replace the curb, matched in the best we could. With that being said, looking at some of the previous pictures of the curb section, the previous curb did have a little bit of a lip on the edge of it. The new curb is more of a smoother transition into the driveway. I don't know if the homeowner is here.
Right behind you.
Okay. The water kind of runs into that area now a lot.
Okay. The water, I also do speed work
for
a rental company, and I'm getting the water from all different directions, all the way from the north, coming south, and across.
Sure.
And don't even go down to the catch basin, right across from the pavilion. The water just goes over that curb, there's a 1-inch drop from the front of the curb to the back of the curb.
That's what it looked like before. So there wasn't a full curb there. It was, like I said, just a little bit. And we did match into the existing curb, so we didn't change the overall drainage patterns. So I'm thinking, I don't know, are you new to the property or
what? Yeah, but there's always those uphill.
So it sounds like it's a situation where there was always water going that direction.
Not when I first got it, no.
Okay. I guess the fix, you know, anytime you introduce an in-slope there or an incline, you're going to create a bump. So, I mean, that's really the only way we could try to redirect some of that water back onto the street, is put a short apron in. Going to create a bump in the road, and I don't know how the homeowner would feel about that and be opposed to that.
Well, the only problem is when you pour that in, how are you going to stop it going to the south where the curbing was, I don't know why that curbing was put in, but how are you going to block it so it doesn't run down that curb? But the curb goes
right. So yeah. This curb was in place. We didn't replace any of this curb, we just mashed in.
Right, but if you want to put an apron across that, how are you going to prevent the water without redoing that curb in the corner?
Right, and we didn't replace that curb, that's existing curb.
Right.
So what we'd have to do is replace some of that curb, if following your line of logic, replacing some of that curb and change the drainage pattern, really. Because we didn't replace that curb, that's, if it's draining, you're seeing it draining down this curb,
that's
the way it always drains. We didn't replace it.
Okay. Nothing's changed as far as the slope, the run, other than taking away that 1-inch lip.
The water comes down Jacob Street and comes across. It gets right here, and it just goes straight across.
There, that's what you said. There, it doesn't look like it's there. Here you can see it, but there.
So
the only solution is to do the damn road. And it's, we don't own the property, you don't own the property, we can't.
And it never really was.
It never was that way before.
No, like I said, there was a good bump always when you came across. You couldn't go flying in. You had to.
Okay. I can see we got an existing picture there, you can see a little bit of a lip.
There's one section there that doesn't look like it has it on the.
Yeah, on the very south end, there is an old lip, really. So it wasn't a big bump at all of it. What's there now is less.
Why was the back set so low? I mean,
you know, in a perfect world, maybe it would be set a little bit higher. But again, these reconstruction projects, we try to match in the best we can to what's there. And, you know, carrying out all the curb and completely changing the drainage pattern, which comes at a cost, we try to replace it.
No matter what you do, Justin, you have to agree the only solution to correct it is to finish that, as if that private drive became street. I mean, without incurring a huge cost from the city standpoint.
Right. But there's a curbing that's there. Don't ask me how it came there, but that curbing drops the wrong way.
Yeah, and that, technically we don't even own that curbing.
No. So if you try to tire it, it's just the water still
trickling
that way.
And that's what makes it a little more difficult, because you see that yellow area that's highlighted. That's owned by Donnie Dahman.
If there was a way to add that on to, you know, things that you're going to do something over here, And, you know, like this is like the water tower on the back side. If that could be, you know, then get this straightened out. No problem with that. But I just don't know how much more water I'm pumping out of my basement because of the water that sits in that driveway around there.
How would you fix that?
You're gonna pull that apron off, take it off, and re-pitch it. Put a higher pitch on it, and then fill it in the back of the red rock. That'd be the proper way of doing it.
According to the pictures of the old existing picture, there's probably an inch lip, I would say. I don't know what do you think it is?
Yeah, probably that.
Enough to make a bump.
Yeah. That's gonna stop water or not.
Yeah, like I said, I never had a problem until they redid this. And I know before we kind of applied that there was a bump.
Yeah. It's almost like the back of the curb, which the back of the curb should be higher than the front of the curb. Right. And that will also keep the water in plus the lip. The back of the curb is now lower than the front of the curb. So all the water that comes, I've sat there and watched it in a rainstorm. All the water that comes down this street, this is where it comes all the way down. It's supposed to dump in over here. It all comes in and goes, whoop, right here. And even water from here will come across and go. I sat there and watched it, you know. And like I said, right now, the back of the curb naturally should be higher, I would think, than the front of the curb, so that it holds the water in the curb. What's happening, it's not just dumping right here, it's starting to dump all the way over. And everything comes right down. I think the back of the curb needs to be lifted, and I also think that there should be a 1-inch little bump or something in there.
Because they did replace the curb right on the corner, so where that piece is, there's only, you know, I think whatever they set the form is all that works.
Now, if you got like a big 3-inch stone floor, it's still going to run in.
Yeah, that's unexpected. Yeah, but
it's every rain.
Yeah, it doesn't half an inch, it goes right down.
So when the curb was put in, the back of it was lower than...
Yep. So you got your pavement.
Got it.
The pavement's actually about a half inch higher than the curbing.
Okay.
So you got the front of the curb that touches the pavement, and you got the back of the curb. Within a 2-foot, use them, allow a 2-foot, there's a 1-inch drop. The back is lower than the front.
And it didn't used to be that way?
No. Because now it's like almost as smooth as going across from way one of our driveways. Before there was always a fault. Now when you went pickup, they could never go flying because it was a, you felt it. And when you're snowblowing, you noticed it when you're snowblowing in the area. And I've never had that much water sitting, you know, after it rain.
Yeah, we did.
Well, you know, when you're trying to drive in there when it rains.
So it makes sense to me that it's back of the curve. The hydrogen of the street water.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Correct. Street side.
Yep.
Because otherwise, you know, you can't grab the work in the foundation.
Yeah, I know you can't get all the water, but you can get 85% of it getting towards the catch basin. That's down the corner of my property.
Yeah.
And then, okay, maybe I'll get these 3 inches, you know, big rains. Everybody has that. Alleys, it doesn't matter where you go. But the half the inch, 1 inch, I shouldn't really get much of that. Except for what runs off my house, you know, into our driveway.
How long ago was this new curry for you?
Just spring. The summer.
Justin, now if that curb gets taken out, is that going to wreck the road?
You know, it would be better if we could leave it in and put an apron behind it. But I sounds like that wouldn't be acceptable to you.
I still think it's going to be a problem. You know, it's still going to be, I think the water's still going to find its way, you know, you're going to put such a big apron on that right away to get it out there. I just don't think you're going to be able to stop it enough when it comes down the road.
So what you
have to see is replace the curb and then how big a lift do you want?
It should be at least an inch higher than the front, but at least. And then the gravel has to be replaced in the back, as I said, when they dug it out. I mean, I'm sorry, but my company, that wouldn't go past. Well, they just threw the gravel and junk and stuff happening behind there, so I just washed out.
If we put an apron on and raise the back of the apron an inch, would you achieve the same thing?
I just think you're going to have a problem. You're going to have to come far enough back into here to get away from the tapered part. But you're going to end up yanking this all out of there. This has to be redone.
You're going to have to take the radius off.
Because there's no way, because we're going to try to keep it.
Right. And that's, you know, that's
so it's just the one radius you'd have to do because the other side doesn't have curb, right?
And that's why in the existing picture that section down here is flat is because you got to match into that existing radius and see where that's flat. So you'd have to pull off that radius in order to make that.
Right. You know, that's the we already set it. Matching or something like that.
So you have a matching into what's existing there.
Right, but the person, when they set this corner new, however they set it, and then that's what continued that way.
Sure.
Because they did this side first.
They matched it, and then
here you go. This thing was cured enough for us to drive over.
Yeah.
They just went from this point to that point.
Yep.
Not realizing, looking at the road, that the crown, there really don't shoot crown to this road. It is a one-way pitch, and it's comes right across. I love to have you see it in a rain.
Sure.
Because you don't know where it is.
So you come from this corner here, where it's existing now, and you bring that straight across this way, higher, you wouldn't have to do nothing at that corner.
No, we still have to get that corner off, because that corner is flat and it slopes
and it slopes down, back.
The corner, that in-place corner that's there right now is flat, and then as you go further west, it actually slopes down.
You'd have to remove that radius from 20 feet to 21 feet to the anchor in there in order to match the gravel back into that concrete going back towards the west. So you can't just take out 5 feet of radius.
Yeah, you're looking at, yeah.
You'll have to take out probably 20 feet of that curb, put in a 4 or 5 foot apron, and then try and get that gravel to match back in. Where he comes in with his truck, and he's not going to use the hazard launching to the woods. Either that, or you make your road look like crap, you take the curb out, and you put a 8 to 10 inch patch right in front of the curb.
Yeah. That's what I brought to turning tension before it put the wear on. Mm-hmm. You know, the base was where it should have been. Should have been took a more hard look at when the base was running.
And it was brought forth.
Not there with that power, but the next year knew they come home and the wear was put on. Like, oh.
There is another area similar to this by Sheely, where the alley comes in there. There's an apron on the alley. Very similar to this, guiding the water down the roadway instead of into the alley. So I guess that's something we could take a look at. There's not, no.
So you got free play with whatever you want to do with that alley. You can dump as much gravel on it as you want. You can keep it up, match your apron, you don't have to match it on either side. Here you got to try and match it with that curb, which is going to be your biggest issue. If the curb wasn't there, it would be easy to
come in. It's simple. I put it on
here for a minute. Yeah, it's a dynamic area. There's no doubt about it. Trying to come up with the best solution for all parties involved is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was hoping we had looked at prior.
Who actually put the curb in?
The original curb?
The
curb that runs along the house there. And I was that putting in the city looking at it, or where we put that in?
Much as I got out when I curved to the grapevine,
Yeah.
So
it won't be our responsibility because we have no easement, no right to that land. So whoever put it in, I don't know, but we have no jurisdiction over that curb.
Personally, I'd love to bring a skinny in and my big semi and just yank her out there. Take it to work and get rid of it.
I mean, the only...
The curb going east and west.
And Donnie Dom is the only one that can do anything with it because it's his property.
Yeah, so that's where I've been trying to get that property. But it's a my house and we're at the top of it all. Didn't learn any of this until after we closed. So now I'm just going to clean up all the other little stuff. You didn't get an apron in there, then you know, keep the water from over the edge. You know, I prefer to see that than put a patch of job.
So, what's the reasoning in the change in curve? Why one inch lip and now no lip? I guess that's maybe kind of the main question here.
Well, they're matching in the two high back curves, so they didn't have. When you come from the top, it's a high back. And then you come over the flat and out, there's a lip. They really had nothing to really go off. That's all. Dug all in there. And once that curve, then they hit the other side.
But keeping the existence.
So it all just kind of ended up flat. Maybe they thought, well, homeowners, they just bump out. Homeowner will like it smooth in there. And I don't deal with concrete that much, but I've been around enough on the foot of curve and stuff.
That's why it's flat.
Well, that's probably why this area here is flat. Yeah, because it looks like part of the section here, you know, that's flat, and then here's the lip. And then here's flat.
Yes, and that was probably like that because at the time it was put in, we thought that water was going to come from that driveway out onto the street. Put that part in flat,
mm-hmm. So it comes.
If you're running to the west, it's
instead of coming.
The rocks will roll down the curve. And then the water comes down. There's no more where the water is going out there. It's too saturated.
Even if all that curve were to come out of there, that driveway, that all runs from north to south going and towards the west. So when you rain, it would come up your neighbor's property,
yep.
Comes across. So other than the water coming from the road onto your property, that curve wasn't there. Water coming across that little gravel driveway catches that curve and runs to the west.
Yep.
So even if you took all that curve out of there, you could make putting an apron a lot easier. You're not going to catch any more of that water and run to the west, that water coming to the north. It's going to come back into your house. So one way, if you even take the curb out, and you might not get it as much of a rush as you would coming off the street as you are now. Unfortunately, as it sounds, the best bet is probably just to replace the curb in there and put a patch. It's going to suck, but I don't know. I mean, I live just down the street. I don't know how you're going to put an apron in and then match into that curve.
That's a lot of them. They don't. You know, you dig up behind it, just up part of the back, and just pull the curve backwards. I'm not trying to disturb. Or run the saw right on that edge between the two, and then, you know, try to.
And
you
got
the roll look so nice.
Right.
You know, you do like that.
And this
and
whole curve
see, there. No patch. I don't like looking at them patches. I see
it's just a. Yeah, screwed up parcel.
We could take a look at doing that.
Yeah, if you just want to maybe put some cost estimates, add a couple options and see.
You know what? To actually cover the city's butt on this one, there should be a full curb put across there. It's not even a city street. There's, you know, if you get all of a sudden now we're going to get some water in some basement, and pretty soon here we've got another $10,000 lawsuit against the city or something.
Put a full
high-back
curb all the way
across? Yeah. Can't do that. It's just a goofy parcel. I don't know what the legality of it is with the parcel. That's the problem.
It's a challenging area from grades and like I said, matching into what's there and providing, you know, some improvement for the homeowner. And what I can do for the council is put together some options. I'll take a look at what's maybe... Feasible. To try to make some improvements, bring those costs back, and then, you know, before we close up the project here, we could have the contractor make an adjustment there. Whether it's pull the old curb or pull the curb, put in a new curb with a 1-inch lip, or do something more with a more aggressive apron. But the one thing with an apron, you may have to remove some more curb, but if you probably want to have a protection for your completed work.
Yeah, it's
got to
be higher than the roller.
Mm-hmm. So, like 1 inch would be ideal, 1 inch higher than the better. I'll bring some recommendations back next
week. Okay, sounds good. All right, then the only other thing with Justin is met with Justin earlier before the meeting, and we drove the streets, and he's also going to put something together here for seal coating and crack sealing for 2017 street maintenance. So,
Justin, so back in 2012, did that report for us?
Yes.
How often do we update that report, or how often can we get that up? What makes sense for
you? I'd say after.
We actually were looking at it today, referencing it, so it's still a document that we use.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly, I'm looking at the report, there's only a handful of streets that are left to do something on. So, you know, we could update the cost estimates. I think the needs haven't changed, for the most part, except maybe a block or whatever. But,
we could just update the map, because we talked about recolor coding,
sure.
Railroad, and...
Would you want me to include a proposal for that, too, to update that document? 4 years old, so I mean, probably updated every 5 years is something you can do in 2017.
Okay. I was curious. I mean, I have mine still from the year 2017.
Yep. It's still something that we use, so
yeah.
Is you going to, are you going to be able to get that estimate to us by the 27th for a budget to get something in for this next year?
I think.
27th of September?
Yeah. Just rough cost estimates. Being get me the rough cost estimates I can plug them into. Anything else for Justin?
The rest of the project went good. On the other end down there, it was all...
Yeah. Yep.
It seemed to go good. As far as, we don't have all the final numbers together, but we seem to be tracking on budget as far as the project cost. We've got fuel runs, 200 runs, nothing unusual for us.
Good. And on Railroad Street there in Sophia, I think that worked out well.
Yep.
I mean, little concern there earlier with the curb just because of the cut, but... Yeah. I think that worked out well.
Worked out well, yeah. Absolutely.
Just another thing that we talked about earlier before the meeting, that was got straightened out. Okay. Any other questions for Justin?
Should be good.
Thanks
Justin.
Yep. And we got we got the city ordinance number 152.
Questions, concerns on that? Otherwise, look for a motion to adopt.
Second.
All in favor? Okay. Old city business. County Road Maintenance Agreement, Garber County?
They're still working on that. Nothing new there. I'm still, the other thing with under old city business is Miller's and Sons property, that parcel that we're looking to purchase from them. I believe on August 31st, sale came final on them two parcels, the UFC sale to Miller's and Sons. So the parcel we're looking at where we currently have the compost on, I'm still waiting to get, still working with the railroad and Miller's on getting a legal description and a survey of that plot. So once I have that, we'll move forward for the sale of that property. But until I get that, I can't do nothing, so.
Didn't Brad have that survey? That's how he found out.
That's what he told me, and I asked him for a survey, and I haven't gotten one. I've asked him twice for a survey, so. He says he just got a legal description. I said, well, I need a copy of the survey. I said, it's usually you get it. When they do a survey, they'll give you a certificate of survey, which will show you everything.
Yeah, station everything.
Right. But I need that official paper, that official document, but. Brad's looking into that, so once I have that, I will move forward with that purchase of that parcel.
There's nothing else you have to do with any more fence or nothing up there.
You know, you guys know a little bit better than I do because I wasn't here that meeting. I was on vacation. But from what I understand, and maybe you guys can help me, I was told because city owns that property and would have access to the street. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That, let's just go to
the supposed to have access to the street. If anything, we might affect. From what I understand, we're going to move the road over a couple of feet, I guess. There's going to be a sign there. No right turn. And in writing. I mean, actual piece of paper with the property.
Alright, from what I understand now, this will be the parcel we'll be purchasing. But also, I told there's a strip of land.
Yep.
That goes to 50.
Yep. Yep.
So,
that's probably right away.
I'm hoping we don't have a mess with this, because I need a survey that states that and shows that. So from what I understand, if we own parcel here, from what I understand the bank owns to here, that I don't know if the GIS mapping's wrong, if something wasn't filed correctly. I don't know. I've been trying to work that out. I ain't getting no answers from anybody. Railroads tell me one thing, Miller's just tell me another, counties tell me another, and the banks tell me another. So this is the problem I have. I need a survey. I need a piece of paper that tells me what's what. Until I have that, I can't do nothing. And I'm not going to do nothing. I don't think the city should do anything until we have paper that states how this all ties in. So, well, kind of Greg, a little bit of a fault over.
Greg, when you remember down there and talked to Brad, and he pointed out for a survey, wasn't there like a marker in the middle of the parking lot there?
The markers are there, yeah.
And then it kind of went diagonal and back into the grass. And supposedly that was, bank parking lot actually.
By the way, the GIS, well, the county has it on their mapping, isn't correct in relation to the survey and stuff. So what I need is that survey. So until I get a survey showing me that how it's laid out.
Did Brad have that survey when you took the magazine or
he said he doesn't have it. I think he's got to get it from the surveyor, so I'm waiting. He has a legal description, not the survey. I'm waiting on the survey in order.
What is so special about this piece of property that the city absolutely needs to have it mark a dumpster and create it? Instead of jumping through all these hoops between railroad, Miller's, bank, I'm not just
going
to waste energy.
Where's
somewhere else?
Well, there is no real big hoops, is there?
And I put it at the end of
the branch. Well, it's just explaining that I need the certificate of a survey.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm waiting on.
Yeah, that's not
practical. I'm just curious. It seems like a lot of messing around for something where you can take a pickup from the can trailer out of it, don't waste energy and bring it from me.
It had to do with the trade-off between Brad Miller's are giving us that plot in exchange for the whack and sack charges for the 2 years ago, because he had to put water and sewer access in. So we waived those fees because we're getting this plot of land. So that's the deal. That's why we're getting it, and that's why all this has to happen. And that's the big problem.
It's just a formality.
Yeah, for some reason, yeah.
So he's getting what he wants, and you guys have to do what he has.
We don't really have a lot of BS.
We're not spending any money, and I'm not. I haven't wasted any taxpayers' money on it. Like I said, I'm just waiting. I'm not doing anything until I see, you know, the certificate of survey.
Plus, I'm just curious why all of this is being done. It's, you know, like you said, you're talking with the railroad, you're getting one answer. You're talking with Miller's, you're getting a different answer. I mean, it's,
well, I think the railroad is out of it right now.
What?
Well, I think really until I get a survey, I'm not doing anything.
Well, the railroad is out of it.
But I need that survey because all this went down before, till the decision was finally made by the council. That's where I was getting all the answers. But then when I went on vacation, I guess it all gotten all squared out. They had it surveyed. So now what I'm waiting for is the survey. The survey will be the telltale. It'll answer all the questions that we had before, Stephen. So I was kind of giving you a playback from probably 2 months ago. You know, like now I ain't doing nothing because I don't see, and I've even our attorney said that we shouldn't be spending money on it. So, and I agree with that, but that's what is like 2 months ago was this and that. And it was just a mess because as you can see here, you know, if you look how the Carver County's got it mapped, all that yellow was allegedly the railroad, but then when they surveyed it, survey came back and said, nah, that's not right. So now I'm waiting for the survey to put an end to all the questions we had 2 months ago. Maybe that'll help you, you know, understand the whole situation here a little better.
Do you ever go back to that river?
There?
Yeah, so between the Antelope Square now and out to the County Road 50, who owns that?
We will.
From what I understand, when it was surveyed, there was a strip of land. Also, it's this parcel.
Okay.
And then there's supposed to be a strip of land.
Okay.
This sounds more complex than it is.
So, this is the sheet that we were showing in that meeting that one day. Like that strip of land was actually after the survey, that strip of land was actually part of that parcel. Okay.
And to put it all to bed, if I can get a survey showing that. Moving on. Okay. All right. And I think we spent enough time on it unless anybody else has any other questions.
That's simple. Yeah.
I need a survey showing that sketching.
Remember how long it took for Scotty Carls to get a survey?
Right. And I know I talked to Brad about it, and Brad is trying to get that for me. So.
Okay.
All right. All right. Number 11.
Where are we here?
Number 11.
Okay, Public Works. Mr. Schultz.
First thing I want to touch base on is the Teresa Swenson not showing up here complaining about her billing. And also, kind of vacant lot across the street from me, who also did not take care of the property. And I guess I'm wondering, can we change something that, you know, we shouldn't have to send letters every 4 weeks because the grass is 6 inches high. They know there's an ordinance in town that the grass can't be over 6 inches at the lowest degrees, and that it needs to be maintained. You know, she's complaining about 2 man hours and two equipment hours. Well, the grass and leaves is that high. I have to go over it and over it and over it. And not to mention, now the kids put shovels or the neighbor took his little tractor with a bucket and made a little dirt bike jump and everything in there. It's all dug up. I was really hoping she would be here tonight, but I guess I'm just I'm concerned about the lot across the street from me too. She's owned that for how many years? My fucking team used to cut the grass on that, and I think they had to work though, and he got a couple of cases of beer or something, and then that went awry when Dennis got sick. I cut the property for 7 years. They said, yeah, many weeds and stuff in there. I'm just transferring it right over to my own lot, so I quit it. You know, we have to send her letters. Then she comes out, I see them burn two lawnmowers up, trying to cut a few bush mowers. Is there something that we can do as a city where we send them a letter, we say, hey, it's not cut at 6 inches, we will cut it, and you will get billed? Can we do something like that?
I'd have to look at ordinance to see how. I totally agree with everything you said.
So much time sending stuff.
Everything you said, Greg, but there are regulations we have to follow in order for us to certify it to the taxes. So that's the problem. There again, it's these stinking rules and regulations that you have for certifying to the taxes.
There should be different certifications.
So what we would have to look at is, I guess it's up to the council if we want to, at the next meeting, look at the ordinance and make the necessary changes to the ordinance.
I think it should be done for next season.
Yeah, so I would say that's what we would need to look at. So, because we have to follow, you know, you have laws, you have to follow them, like, you know, our ordinances are the city laws. So we have to follow them in order to allow us to certify it. And the reason we got to do that is if we didn't follow that, those circumstances, build them, they took us to court, and court says, can I see your ordinances, can I see your whatever, they're going to say, oh, you didn't follow them. Next case.
Could you maybe check something with some other surrounding communities? You know, I'm sure that we're not the only one that has that problem. See what the other communities are doing?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Lawn is 6 inches. What about weeds?
Well, I think it says
same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
I mean, you and actually, I don't think it's. Here.
I think our ordinance says 10.
10 inches.
Yeah.
Well, there's some.
So just yeah. But still, it's 3.5, 6 feet half the time anyway. So, no, I agree. People buy property; they need to maintain it. That's the bottom line.
I spend a lot of money on that.
It's a
property in a year for
right.
Fertilizer, spray it twice a year. You know. Gas to cut it, and you got the crap across the street.
Well, I know that.
Blows across.
You got something with the dandelions that are
yeah.
Infested.
I mean, I quit cutting it because of the you know, the weeds. I was spraying it also, and I kept getting the creepy char. Just keeps coming and coming. Well, not sure if it's on my lawnmower, my own lawnmower. That's why I quit cutting. Otherwise, it wasn't that big a deal. Maybe 10 minutes, but I started getting people charged with my lawn, and that's because the charge of the lawnmower then. And people charged with someone else trying to kill everything, spray.
So has she paid this bill?
No.
Another one with interest, just like a water bill.
What happened the year before? When Miller's running there with the big thing.
Oh, I think that probably got assessed. Yeah, I'd have to look to double check, but I think.
I guess what upsets me is my camera got a hold of her that she said we need to cut the grass, and she laughed about it and said, well, I'll see if I can get my guys out there. She had no intention of coming out here and taking care of that.
What for had the property then?
Well, yeah.
Right.
It's in the for sale. There's not even a
for sale. It's not a for sale. You wouldn't be able to see it anyways.
Right.
Yeah. Well. I mean, the thistles were 4 feet high in places out there. Big purple heads yeah. on there. You know, I mean, is there something? Can we find them for that? You know, I don't know.
Are you talking about the one next to us?
Yeah.
No, I don't, well,
both.
Not so much that one, but the other one that we could build her for 2 man hours and 2 machine hours.
Oh, she okay.
Be here to complain about it. I just, I don't know. I mean, it's not good for the lawnmower to do it either.
No.
I mean, you know. My lawnmower's 4 or 5 years old and getting up here an hour, that's hard on them things too. I guess it's just a huge frustration.
Well, make a note, let's look at the ordinance next month and
yeah. We'll look into that. We'll put some more teeth into it.
Why does she, why do we have to send her 3-4 letters? I mean, she knows
the text
letters.
For a fool.
And phone calls.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's, it's almost, yeah, we got a couple more people to do or something.
Well, so Greg Peterson, he volunteered to cut that lady's grass and some kind of deal, you know, next to the stuff you. And she wanted him to do it. Yeah, well, and she told Greg no.
Yeah. All right. Oh, God, that's okay.
Thank you for coming.
Water and wastewater services. I'll be doing pre-discharge samples here next week. Ponds are filling up pretty fast after this summer. Also got a guy coming out to look at the lift station there. We had another instance where we had a little power glitch, and it's not, it didn't start the generator. So it's, I haven't gone down there. Went in earlier, just checked it. We've probably all been knee-deep in it. So, but I'm going to try to get that figured out here this week. So, city shop repairs and community center roof. City shop repairs, we got a couple of estimates in there now. So.
Yep. So basically, we received two estimates, one from K&K Services and one from Schneider Excavating. So, bid from K&K Services was for digging out waterproofing 40 feet on the north side of the whole east side and for taking out the concrete steps and removing, rebuilding wood steps. Is there nothing on that bid? I'm sorry, I just received these today, but on the K&K bid, is there anything on the for along the other side of the building? Okay. Just wanted to make sure that we're apples to apples. Yep. And then you're going to go all the way along to the steps pretty much. Is that what was figured? The cement steps, right? Okay. I just want to make sure we're... So that bid from K&K was for $19,500, and the bid from Schneider Excavating was $22,350. Yep, and then there for extra labor and materials, come back 2 times the city request to add dirt after settling was $1,500, so that's kind of like an addendum to that.
I don't see either one of these. We talked about putting them drains off the roof. Right into that.
That's
where the tile.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is Schneider's
considered that?
Okay. Yeah. It's all tied in. Yeah. Okay. That's going to go right in that, like they the east wall will go right down in by my shop door. Yeah. The back side will go across down into the back of Bob Herman's.
Cool.
It's nothing coming around the corner. I don't think so. I don't think we'll have enough drop to I think we gotta shoot the one storm. There's a storm on the other side of the fence. And we're gonna drain the one that way and then the whole east end would run down toward the shop and the storm sort of drain there. So.
But in the estimate, it doesn't say nothing about. Am I missing it? Okay. All right. Okay.
Basically, bringing it all, power washing the building.
Put it on top of the tile.
Yeah.
Okay. So that includes tiling.
One block.
It doesn't include anything as to where we're taking the cement. And the stuff out, the blacktop.
I mean, at least you're afraid to consider doing that.
Yeah, for settling this. But I didn't know if that was...
But that's not built in here, correct?
I need the one.
By the time we had looked at it again, we would see that talk about maybe putting it through that for the end of next year, meeting with all the workers.
We had talked about taking that cement steps all right by my door and actually getting rid of all the that little blacktop walkway that goes along there anyway. And like I said, tying that a little blacktop pad that comes down play structure and going over to the bigger part of the pad where the fish shack is. Because basically the only ones that ever use that steps is me if I park behind the building or Cambridge Hunting and Fishing Club, but they usually not ever. That cement steps is all busted up anyway, it's all hollow underneath there. So we were talking about just getting rid of that and getting rid of the blacktop along there. And that would alleviate that problem there because the stuff can come down and be tied into the tile. So that could actually be grass probably right up to the building once everything is settled. And then we were talking about doing concrete at an angle to keep the water away from the building and the rest of it. So on the backside and possibly also.
So with the removal of the concrete steps, than what was discussed for them being replaced, retaining wall or just grade? Grade? Good. Yeah. And then, did you discuss anything about that existing half wall there? That needs to be rebuilt anyways, or did we just leave that out? Yeah, the two or three blocks that.
Yeah, probably come on, just kind of cut that whole curve.
Cut it all out, slope it all to run right to that drain.
Yeah, it's all.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, while we're digging, we might as well just get it all to kind of run into there. Okay.
You know, there's stuff on there.
The north side and we're going to get built up by the water.
Yeah. Well, we've even seen that on these last rains that. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Unseen, unknown.
There's a lot of stuff there, but
could you throw up, say, the first 8 or 10 feet of that block? 10 feet by 10 feet, fill a block in that corner.
That'd be a lot more expensive than the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be going to something there.
Yeah.
So basically, we're looking at 21,000 compared to 22,350. What was the plan as to start and completion? Because we look at our schedule here for October, every Saturday is that.
Oh, yeah, through October.
Wedding. And the remainder of September is that wedding. And those steps in the back for caterers is kind of necessary.
Are you going to be doing pages with the east side, or whatever, both on the side, and one on the east, and then try to do it?
Yeah. What about, like, say, on that north side time estimate? to do. You're looking at right, but I'm just saying, how long would that north side take?
There's a lot of doing phases like that. You're gonna have more time to use it coming back and forth.
I understand that, but yeah. I'm just looking as to what our activities are up there, like how long it will take.
I just have to block it off.
Or if you want to pull it around.
Yeah. Right.
I thought you were going to leave it. I thought you were going to leave it open until next spring.
Well, it would be backfilled.
Yeah.
We're not going to pour any concrete or anything until everything settles. Otherwise, you're going to get out of the
future. It'll be all the spring.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want anybody back there anyway, because it's not going to be concrete. It's gravel or it's going to be gravel.
Here's a question.
Yeah, like I said, I think we should do it this fall, get it done, or it's going to be like everything else, just get pushed.
Well, I agree there, too. Yeah. That's how I'm looking at time.
Yeah, then we're going to hit up a roll back in there, and that's what I don't want to do.
Can the old steps be taken off, do your work, put the steps back on in the spring, the new steps go on? Would that be the goal?
We're not actually putting new steps on, we're just fixing the mount behind the step. That's all rotten.
And if you can't get it done to, like you said, barricade that door, screw it shut with something.
That would be a one weekend.
And
well, we've got the two estimates. It's got to be done. Money's been budgeted. I think we should make a decision where we're going.
Can't get these cheaper, so.
I'll make a motion and get going on this.
Before you make that motion, Steve, just want to verify if, when you make the motion, that our council's thoughts are in including the other estimate from K&K for labor and materials to come back 2 times at city request, add dirt after settling for $1,500. So, I don't know what the council's thoughts are on that. So, before you make a motion, hold that thought, and what are the council's wishes? To do the 19.5 now, or also include the additional $1,500 for the dirt and settling?
Fred, can you add dirt?
I'm thinking Schneider would be extra for coming back twice as well. Okay, so.
And they're still.
They wouldn't have included it in this bid.
They're still cheaper, so it's.
Why do that we go with this K&K and include that $1,500? You know, that once.
Sir, that's your opinion.
Well, I would probably go with the extra $1,500 just because that's also going to be a part of the final grade. So, you know.
And then you got
got one company that you're dealing with.
Yeah, that's part of that. That's kind of all part of the same bid, because that's going to be part of the final material and stuff.
Make a motion on that. Second.
Motion made and seconded to award P&P services for the waterproofing. The total of $19,500 with an additional $1,500 to come back twice. Add dirt as stated on the estimate. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next thing is the roof on this building. We had our boss come out.
Yeah, and I kind of last meeting or the budget meeting we discussed that, and obviously the repairs they did didn't work because we found water spot now in the fire department office and still in the bathroom. So one of the things we discussed was maybe having Kohl's come out and looking them to do the same thing on the roof here as the hall. So that might be the option to go versus, I don't know, trying to repair what's up there. No, we haven't.
Yeah. I called in and asked him that Martin gave me a bid on holding that. And he was up there and measured it, and he basically told me the same thing Costco was at. All of the fasteners are all working themselves out. And he said, what's happening, he said, that's the kind of roof. He said, the wind and everything else looks like sheets of metal. Yeah. And then it slowly works the fasteners out. He said, he could go around and tell the fasteners down to record it, but he said he wouldn't be able to get any kind of a warranty with that because you're not tying the sheets of metal together, where he said if he put an inch and a half of foam on it, that basically adheres and ties all the panels together, so they're no longer doing this, and you're not pushing fasteners out, and then you put the coating on top of that. He said that's actually going to be a good job. He said otherwise, it would just be a little band-aid.
Do you want to screw the tin back, or nail it, or screw it back down, or it's loose now? You have to do that first.
Yeah, you have to do that first. He would reattach all the fasteners, whether it's screws or nails or whatever there is up there. He said they would all be put back on. And he said the foam actually ties everything together, so it no longer moves. So it's not going to be working the fasteners off.
And then where did you put that down to the foam, Greg?
It would be like a white, it's almost like a urethane, kind of like a rubberish urethane coating. That you put over there, that's like the waterproofing and stuff, and that also protects the problem from the sun's rays and stuff like that. So,
did that fall underneath some kind of, not necessarily a grant, but something like a painting company? Come back and the roof.
Well, he said too, when he, we walked inside of the building there, I told him, I said, in the winter, I said, we actually got water that drips down through on when there's a whether the panel or two that's broken out, you can actually see frost up there. And he said that inch and a half would give you an extra R10 of insulating value, so which would also help with the frost issue and the dripping through on the floor too, where there's really on that ground part, there's probably next to no insulation up there period. So he said, in the long run you're probably doing two things, you're cutting down on your heating bills, but you're also stopping your water leaks and your frost issues and stuff too. So
it's going to be on the supply
anyway. Yes.
So you said, maybe for that, is that something for this morning?
I haven't.
No, we haven't.
Well, before the 27th.
I can get a monitor as well for you guys.
Yeah.
That's why we thought maybe it might be an easier alternative for Coles to come out and look at it.
I haven't been up in a while, but the old man kept, my brother kept, said that the tin is on backwards.
On that wall.
On that wall. The tin might have to come off. You know what I'm talking about, right?
It's backwards?
It's on backwards, yeah.
So the ice catches it?
The ice.
It comes down the lip?
Yeah. While that ice comes down, it catches it.
Should lap this way versus?
Yeah.
The tin should lap backwards at the feet.
So even if that doesn't seal, the water runs down and then runs into it too?
Yeah.
Well, on the fire board, you're on the fire wall. The ice serves the tin. Is that down there?
That's why you see the bottom corners of that tin all folded back. Who's up on the roof? I see. And it's catching the tin and it's bending it back.
Really?
Yeah. I did see that. This one's standing on the ground out there. Oh, no, it's a fire truck. Who's up on the roof? Who's up on the ladder chimneys? Yeah, I did see that. And you said that, that might have to be in tin now. That's no bullshit. I know that.
That's great. Won't be interesting.
What would you suggest if you want to look?
If you were up to help a leak this summer, you can't see anymore. They scrape them, the top of the room looks like that. And the bird.
Well, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It'd be something to ask them, you know.
Well, while you're digging, you know where I'm going? Got time to run over there and put something together for us? Appreciate it if you could do that, then we'd have an idea too, another option and cost. Yeah, and we did this, I think, in 99, last time they put that Conklin coating on it.
Way over here.
Oh, man, see.
Yeah.
Well, put something together.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what's the answer for our 10 buildings. You know, that line is showing. Like
same thing.
That's because of the build rate, I just think it's expanding.
Because he tried to reattach that, you know, taking off the old faster, and the holes were just getting bigger. You know, basically, I don't know what we got to do. Re-tin everything down. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. We need to fix stuff before roofs start falling in, one way or another. But I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a contractor.
I remember
Every time you get a heavy rain, you gotta have an umbrella in there. It's bad.
Jerry, you want to check on the swings you're going to get on there? The towns have had a timber up
issue? I can do that. See what we... Yeah. Yep. I will do that.
Well, I guess we could. I guess let's get some ideas and some prices. What we can do. Otherwise, we can throw ideas out all night and we don't know what the hell we're doing.
That's on the list of city cell phone. cell phone service in town is lousy regardless of where you're going. But the city cell phone, I don't get texts or calls and stuff for, it seems to be a longer time than on my other phone. I don't know if it's a cheaper phone.
Yeah, it's just a cheapy pay as you go.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, when it hits the fan and I need to get called from these people, and they call you out or they send you a text at 6:15 and I get it at 6:30, 6:35, 20 minutes on a text with the lift station going out is the difference between Amber and Media in some of these cases. When that thing is full, it fills up fast. So, I don't know what we want to do about the cell phone issue that we got here. I was thinking about possibly seeing about getting rid of the city cell. When I started here, I did not have a city cell, and I gave my personal cell phone off, which most of the people that contact me still use anyway. I'll possibly get rid of the city cell phone and get the little one toward my home phone that I don't got to carry two of them. What are your thoughts on that? Either that or else going on a plan and getting a city cell phone, something that's not paid per minute and stuff like that. And most of the ads I got are from the previous cell phone owner, and so I was tense about partying and this and that, and bring me here and join me there. It's a little ridiculous anyway.
And the songs.
Yeah, and songs. And
what were you spending a month, or what have we got now for cell phone?
What is it? Maybe $20 a month?
Yeah, because
it's refill cards. So instead of paying that,
what do we need if we put it on yours? I mean, if we're going to pay one or the other.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's up to you guys. Like I said, the majority of the people that call me on my personal phone anyway, because that's the number I need. I've given other people my other number and my city cell phone number, and I don't know, they just never put it in their phone or something because they still call me on my phone, so.
Well, I think it would make more sense just to put it on Greg's phone. Everybody knows Greg Schultz is the city maintenance.
Okay, here's the situation.
Yeah.
He's out of town, then Jeremy's got the city phone.
Yeah, that's the only kind of issue you have with that.
I think from a continuity standpoint too, I mean, not that Greg's going anywhere anytime soon, but at some point in time, he's going to want to probably want to go up north for a longer period of time than he does now, and we'll have to find somebody to replace him. I think from a continuity standpoint, it makes sense to keep one number for the city, for that phone, kind of in perpetuity. And instead of having it go from number to number to number to number.
Well, I've talked to most other cities. Most other cities either reimburse the employees for their phones or provide, you know, plans. I mean, the reason why we did this was to save money, but I'm just telling the council it's not working. Problem is, with that phone, if you have, I've taken it home, and 4 hours later, it'll come through, and I'm like, you know, what if it was something important? I guess that's the concern I have. I mean, I think I don't know if the antenna on that phone is just not good enough or.
We'll be deciding an issue on Monday morning. And I was home with my light sweater and then just sort of let the play red flag for me because we got 3 feet coming into town. Whenever my light sweater, I always go and check the station because that thing, for some reason, will lose the juice and went down there. Well, Jeremy had the phone, but
it was 15 minutes later before I got the text messages, and then they finally called. So then I called, you know, Greg at his house, but he is already gone. He is already on it just because of taking intuition, you know, and going down there. But
with the water that we take on, when I got down there already, I opened the door. Halfway up the lift station. So the pipes were full. I started the generator and both pumps ran for 5 minutes just to keep up.
Well, why don't you check in the phone for a different phone? And proceed with that, maybe report back or send an email on it. Keep the same number so you've got that active and you go from there.
Okay.
If it won't work, it doesn't pay the money.
I'll just look into it for now.
Yeah.
So if you've ever texted or tried to get a hold of Greg and he hasn't got back to you, that's why.
A couple things. The lights are on in the old farmer's in the Melky's building in the basement. I don't know if it seems like it hasn't been that long ago. I don't know if you go down there, do you meet her? You know, if somebody else was down there, or maybe.
I don't think that's something looking at the building.
Yeah.
I go there and check
a lot. I mean, it just, I didn't know.
Yeah. No, there's actually 3 switches down there.
So maybe shut them off. And did you hear anything on the brush pile business?
Yeah, the logic and the suit will come out and they will do it for nothing. They will take the chips. He did not tell me when, so it will be this fall yet. And they're going to pigtail us with our
Arlington.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Fingers crossed.
So, talked to the guy, just gave him the number, and he said they don't charge, and he said they'll take the chips. And he was going to come on, like, yeah, and he said, didn't leave his fall yet because he was going to be our events. So,
he's going to be our events,
he's going to make the works.
Good. That's the hallway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did we make any progress on the sewer inspections?
No, I was just going to talk. I was just going to bring that up. Me and Greg talked about it, and I've looked at it. I just haven't sent out the letters, so I think there's 9 people that need letters, and I'll get them out the end of the month, by the end of this month. Yeah. The other thing with that, dang it, I should have brought it up when Justin was here, but is that something we want to look at doing a next section of inspections? Is it how we've... Well, we hired that 3Bs, remember that debacle? Many of you remember them. But anyways, then we hired SEAs to go in and do the inspections and televise the lines and check for sump pumps. If you want to continue moving on and do a next start, looking at a next phase of that. I mean, because we still obviously have INI issues. And I think we should probably go to the east of the area that we just did. I think along William Street is where we have water coming from. So I think that should be the next phase.
They do that or do we do that?
We could.
I do when we sell a house.
House.
Right.
Before a house is sold, I'll go on to the sewer inspection.
I mean, as long as we can line them up. You know, one turd's here, something like that. But that, I don't... Exactly, there's that, and then they're going to be... Well, I get home at 5:30. So there's that issue. That's why we had SEH do it at that time, because they...
SEH had a scheduling. Should we do it at 5:30?
Yeah, I know we had schedules, and they...
They went there?
Yeah.
Well, it should be done.
Yeah, so I'm thinking we should start considering
on stuff.
Right,
it doesn't get better by itself.
Yep, and if we're going to do these letters, I think then we need to look at the next phase and keep moving forward.
Houses that have sold in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah,
I've only actually ran into one so far. I found one that had run explained, and they ended up getting a plumbing guy out there, and he explained where it came from. I think the pipe wrapped around the floor about 15 times before it came out because there was a drain. And I said, no, I said, I ran water and I washed up in the far corner. I said, no water came. And then he said, well, it must have been for a while. He said, then it came. And I said, well, I said, you got to prove it to me. So then he went down there and sure as heck, and, you know,
started to pump
water about 5 minutes later, here it came. So he said, I don't know. He said, if the snake's all the way around out underneath the floor or what, but he said, it's, but that's where it was coming from. Because, I mean, I was still curious. I did not know when Pyong would be that long. So I put dye tablets down, and it came back right then, so.
Well, let's get that ball rolling, too. Letters out, and yep. Others. And
I think so, too. So I got to email Justin, so I made a note, too.
I was going to say, you're going to see this.
Yep.
And one other thing, I got that handicapped bathroom down there at the park. That's going to go back, I'm assuming, here soon.
Yeah, when do you...
Next year, can we get a regular blue one? Because people are kicking that door, don't fit.
Yeah. We can request that. I can request that. Well, because it blew over twice.
Playground twice this year.
Last year, too, it didn't fit for now.
Sounds like
she
did. Yeah.
But anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, or do they have to be anchored down? I mean, that...
Yeah, what should happen, because with these winds, I mean, that thing's heavy with altitude, so when they flip over, you know, half the juice stays down. And, it's nasty.
Well, I think maybe anchoring it would not make it so nasty.
That would be a good idea.
Do we realize what we have in Greg in this city, people? Seriously, he does everything.
Jack of all trades.
Oh. So maybe make a note.
I made a note. And then, yeah, I was just going to say, do we want to have that removed this week?
Might as well.
And the bathrooms are still open, I'll probably be closing them.
I'll call tomorrow morning then and have him pick it up.
Okay, I don't have any more questions for you.
I light up here and around the fire department and go over there and check out there. Every day what's going on, I just look. I light it. Sensor come out and take it with the stuff out and see if it's on. Maybe a sensor out on that.
All right. Are we done with public works? Anything else for Greg?
If I may, I just want to discuss one of my items on here while Greg's here. And it has to do with the, I kind of filled the council in a little bit on the community hall rental November 19th, 2016. I know there's been a lot of discussion about it, but in all, basically what happened is I didn't write in the Lions Bingo for the 18th, and they called and rented it the 19th with the perception that they could get in on the 18th. And I didn't realize this till a month later that we had this rental that was booked, and also then we had the all bingo. So I know there's been a lot of discussion about it. I've talked to other employees about it. You know, one of the things we talked about is that if from the Lions we can get a listing, you know, each year when events are. I'm not putting any blame on anybody other than myself for not writing it in there and for this booking happening. The renters are not happy. I don't blame them. Like I said, I forgot to put it in the book, the listing. I have talked to them, they have kind of talked to me about, because they were told this, guaranteed this, and everything's in line, they're looking for a discounted rate. I don't blame them for asking for that, and I said I would, myself, would bring that forward to council, for I feel that is something we should work with them for the error made in the booking. So council's thoughts on that? No amount was mentioned. We got an email. I didn't think, did you forward it to me? I don't think we put it in there though, did we? From them asking for a discounted rate. Was it in there?
I didn't make a copy of it.
Okay, so we didn't put it in. They said because of the situation and all their things, they got people flying from all over. They were told they could get in Friday. They said maybe a very discounted rate would be appropriate in the email. And I have talked to her numerous times trying to iron this out. In my 20 years here, I've never had this issue. It's the first time. I just think with the change and all the things that have gone on this year, it just got missed and getting put in the book.
The rate was 650, right?
Correct.
Well, I agree. I will certainly don't want them teed off.
Right, but I still think, you know, we should cover our costs for the hall. But, like I said, it's just something that got missed.
Well, they already put their 150 deposit down, so they're no 500.
It doesn't matter who it is, as long as they're right there. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't know. You're gonna discount the other 500, or you're gonna discount half that. They're gonna be happy.
Wouldn't say more than half. Like I said, still need to cover Greg's cleanup costs. And electricity.
What is that?
At least half.
Like 325?
I'd say at least 350 should be charged. You discount
350, that means that they're going to get 300.
Well, I'd say $350, charge $350 at least. You know, normally I wouldn't budge or do this, but like I said, it was where I said, yep, it's open Friday, you can get in there Friday, yep, no problem. And they even called twice to confirm that, make sure. And then, I don't know, we were talking about, I don't know where it came up. Oh, there was another rental said, oh, I heard the other day was booked, and I was like, no. And then
Greg's like,
when's the fall bingo? And I said, well, we don't have nothing in there. And I said, oh. Normally the 18th, I said, we got a problem. Well, it's held that time every year, so I write it in, and I just didn't. It didn't get put in the book. Normally it's one of those things that gets taken for granted, and, you know, finally happened.
So your top was in $300 off for $650?
Yeah. You know, like I said, normally I wouldn't do it, but I lost two nights of sleep over this. It just killed me that, I mean, if you ever had to make them phone calls, it's not fun.
I lost a night of sleep and a day of work because I was so angry about this situation.
So is that a motion?
I'll make a motion. $300 off of $650. So that would leave with $350.
Is there a second? Is there another idea?
I haven't heard one.
I haven't heard a second either.
But I'm wondering what everybody's thinking.
We got three other on the council. What's your thoughts? And get this handled, whether we sit here all night.
Did they ask for a set amount of $300?
No. It just says...
No. What did it say? Significant.
Significant
reduction. Well, I'm sure she's teed off, but it's worth $300. I mean, I guess... Yeah, we may have made a mistake, but I don't know if that's worth half the rental.
Good news don't travel. Bad news travels.
And this is a family member of a
local resident. It's up to the council.
We want to have more rentals. It doesn't matter who really it is, but yes, there's people coming from all over. I was here that day, Jeremy and Cameron was. That was. And like Jeremy says, you ever take a phone call like that?
It wasn't a good day.
Do you have a different suggestion?
Well, I would have proposed $200, but everybody, I mean, I guess that's just kind of my opinion. Because taking $300 off $650, after you're talking almost 50%, you'd be 45. That's a pretty steep discount for, you know, an honest mistake. I mean, obviously she was upset and she's going to be upset. I can understand that. However, like, that's a pretty steep discount for, like I said, an honest mistake.
Well, you've got 200, he's got 300. Why don't you make it 250? Let's get this going, folks.
Well, like I said, bad news travels fast. I mean, you ain't going to hear nothing good about this whole thing, but as long as you don't hear bad news, that's the main
thing. Well, it's already out there if it's done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever dollar amount, is that going to make it any better? No.
I mean,
it's just helping out.
Yes.
Could Bob make a motion for $200? I'll second
it. I'd like to amend Steve's motion to make it $250 instead. We will split the difference. Mayor Malls has a pretty decent idea on that, so I'll make a motion.
Just make a motion for $250.
Discount of $250 off the $650 rental fee because of our clerical error.
There's a second to that.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded. We give a discount of $250 towards the hall rental fee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
That's me.
Carried. You abstain?
Abstain.
He's on the line.
Yeah. Oh, you abstain.
Abstain. So it's still four to
two.
Your vote counts. Unless you say nay.
No.
Unless you say nay.
I thought I'd just break the tie.
No. No. Unless you say nay.
Well, then I'm for it. So
oh, there.
Come.
Yep.
Motion carried.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. And then, Craig, while you're here, quick, you have anything for the budget other than the items you brought forth to me? Okay. So I'm going to save the budget for last, and I guess, Greg, you'd be free to go unless you have anything else or any other items to discuss under my report.
Going back to the hall rental. It beat the dead dog anyway, but I brought it up before. I still feel firmly about it. I feel that these groups, city groups, should start to pay something for using the hall. Ultimately, it wasn't written down, but it wasn't written down because it wasn't given to them. It was $250 on the hall rental, we're not getting anything from the people. They donate back to the city, we're the only ones around, keep in mind, that doesn't charge fees to use the hall. These groups pay me to clean hall. I just think it's wrong. So going forward, I think that should be looked at. I just don't think it's right. Like I said, some groups get back, some groups don't. I don't think we have an efficient club. I don't believe going in is back to the last year or two.
I was asked that and I looked. And it's been since 2012?
Really?
I'll tell you what, I get that happy shop up, help unload the stuff. I don't mind doing it, I'm even there that day because of all the bathroom issues and everything else. I don't charge the city for it. But when you push 2,500 to 3,000 people from wherever to that building, it's a lot of electricity, a lot of toilet paper, a lot of water. Family needs to be scrubbed in place. Honestly, that too, that you should have, last year we said that we're not going to give three rentals for
fundraisers.
We set a price of $300-$350 or something to cover the city's cost. Yeah. I honestly got to feel we should look at that for the groups here. Because I think it's just a pretty way to try to get the money that we've got to stick in.
We lose money every year,
just
by all our rentals.
Yeah.
Well, that, yeah, that has been.
Well, we treat it as a park, but, even treating it as a park, that brings the age of the building, and, there's $100,000 worth of work that needs to be thrown into that building. The Lions just paid $5,500 or something for paint for those grades, and I guess they get back. Look at all the usage and stuff too, at 300 or 350 or something too, that will be around that too. It's great that we got these groups, but I'm just feeling as a city, we need to start doing something in our favor.
I'm surprised that the Parking Commission Club, they get rid of the law. Not the way it sounds from Jeremy since 2012.
2012, I believe. Double check that this takes forever.
Really, the city really doesn't get anything out of it.
No.
Like I said, I don't mind helping off on that Saturday. I go in my time and stuff, but that's a big place to clean and stuff. Like I said, I really don't feel good. There should be a base fee between this.
We came up with. Yeah, 2012.
Just something to think about as long as we're on the subject. And if not, that's just my feelings.
Well, just to go a little further on it, what does the Hampton Hunting and Fishing Club do for the city?
Well, it's, I don't know, it's a group in the city.
Right.
Well, like I said, I heard that they used to get some donations and stuff. And so, like I said, it's, the city's not really making any money on that deal, it's just costing the city.
Right, I agree.
So.
I always thought they were charged. No, I thought because of the multitude they have.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff. That's good. I guess
it falls down to it's fair for one, it's fair for all. You know, you have any groups in there that have been charged here. But I guess if you look at the ongoing bills that we got on the building, it's something needs to change. It's just a, it's a drop. To cover the cost of the city's battery to a lot of times not the heater. Less money to pay to clean it, cost money for electricity and
gas and water. All the utilities. But what is, I think we had this discussion a while ago, like the pavilion. They get full bore rent from everybody, don't they?
Yeah, we get whatever the rent is from whatever the groups use it. But there's that's one of the reasons why a lot of groups in running America don't use it. It's not used as much as people would like to think by the local groups. It's used by other outside groups. And one of the concerns and questions that has been raised for the last several years now is why not a lot of the groups in town, especially the ones that give money back to town, and do things in town to help beautify the town, wherever it might be, giving them access to the facilities and that as well. I mean, but it is what it is.
Still maintenance. Well, that we can do with our fee schedule coming up here, can't we?
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's when we,
can be
at least the seed is planted now, we can think about it. And maybe come up with something for next year. That's not a bad thought.
So you're proposing more like a maintenance slash wear and tear type usage fee versus an actual rental fee?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Painting and looking at trees and stuff, but like I said, some groups don't get back at all. If you charge one, you better charge them. And I don't, I think we should get something out of it anyway.
Good food for thought here.
For budget, just once again reiterate, by the 30th we have to set the property tax levy, proposed property tax levy and proposed budget for 2017, then also set the public comment meeting for 2017 final budget. Typically we do that at the same time council meetings, so it'd be December 13th. So basically what I'm looking, we probably need to hold a second meeting, at least to finalize and approve the proposed budget. Would the council like to meet again before we hold that meeting to discuss the proposed budget? Have another workshop, maybe next Tuesday?
And that is?
Or Monday, or I'm open to Wednesday, whatever works.
Week from today?
Yeah,
where's the date?
20th. I think we need a little more time with some
with
of
the all
changes
the things
that
going
are coming
on.
Yeah.
So I guess I would ask for a motion to hold a
special budget meeting for September 20th at 7 o'clock, then also to hold a second city council meeting on the 27th at 7 o'clock.
That'll be it. Motion made and seconded to have an extra budget meeting on the 20th of September, and along with the one on the 27th.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay. 2007 policing contract. That is in there. I don't know if you need more time to review it. There's just a couple items you'll see that I crossed out that weren't correct.
Yeah, the pricing?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's pretty cut and dry since last year. They don't need it till, they need it by November, so we do have another month yet.
Is that pushed down from last year?
No, it is up.
Is it up?
Yeah. Probably. I don't know if you give me a minute. It... So it's...
If you add the two numbers that are circled, it's still on there. You show that one that's up on top there. Yeah, there's... Or is there something else? Because if you take the 7643 times 2, it's 15286.
No, I'll go on and change it. These two numbers are wrong.
Are they wrong?
Yeah, they're wrong. If you have these numbers up, they come up to that.
Oh, okay.
So. So it's something, you know, we can discuss during the budget yet, too, if...
What was it? What did we have for last time?
It's about, last year was, let me see if I have the breakdown. So it's about $750 more than last year.
This year, you mean, right?
Yeah. Next year. The only thing probably for discussion would be is if you wanted to look at, you know, CSO hours, you know, to reduce costs. Other than that, we're pretty well tied to.
Is that 130 hours? That's about normal. Next year.
That's what we've contracted for the last 2-3 years.
Next year we've got the base plan. That right where we need more.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Is there a second?
Yeah,
second. Motion made and seconded to approve the 2017 policing contract. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Health insurance, I think I kind of went over that last meeting, but I put a breakdown in the packet to show council. So it's about 3.4% increase, which is pretty good considering what a lot of the others are getting hit with. U.S. Solar will be coming to the next meeting. There's some...
The October one?
The 27th.
The 27th?
Yeah. He said he could come tonight, or he could come at a later date and provide him some information so he could do some numbers. I thought it would be best if we get him our electric usage to him so he can run some numbers and see what kind of cost savings we'd be looking at.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work with him on that, and he'll be coming to the next meeting. And then just another thing to update council on is next year, Excel will be coming and changing out the street lights, putting in LED lighting. Should be about a roughly a 3 to 6% cost savings to the city in usage.
Jeremy, have you heard about the controversy about the color or the shade of the lights that they're using? A lot of people in Minneapolis that don't like the...
Yeah, and what happens is you have that yellow tinge kind of now.
No.
But they're going to be going to a soft white. Did we include that picture? Probably didn't turn out anyway.
Right. Didn't turn out.
Because it's not color, because our color printer's down. But I have a copy that shows the color differences, so you can look at it, but I don't know.
No, I'm just bringing it up to you. I mean, there's been a lot of people in other cities that are concerned about it. They don't like this.
The only complaint I ever get is when their light actually goes out and people go, right. You don't realize how much you get used to that light and like having that light, so... Yeah, it's been called in. Yeah. On the corner there? Yeah. 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 I was informed about it yesterday, so I went online and called it in, and usually 2-3 days are out, so should be taken care of. If not, let me know by the end of the week. And then the only other thing is kind of discussed the copier. I've talked to people, it's about $100 to $150 just to have somebody look at it. I don't know, do we have someone come out and look at it? If it's a simple fix, get it fixed, but now if it's $150 and they like the parts $300, we can buy a new copier for that.
We don't know how many years how old it is.
I don't, because we didn't have no book, no nothing on that. I mean it seems like it's in good shape, and like I said, I've looked at it, doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it. And just my fears with anything is, you know, everything's made to be thrown away. So.
Yeah, if it's older than 5 years, then it's probably not even worth fixing, because they'll charge $145 to fix it, to look at it, and they'll say it's going to be $350 or $400 to fix it.
My only concept is, I just spent $150 on a toner, so.
Well, just get the same printer. Same printer so you can use a toner, man.
Good luck.
Well, I'd say do some research on what you want.
Just whatever we have there is.
You can get one that's a lot simpler to
use. Yeah.
I don't know
if you need one that big, but sometimes you're going to use it, you know. Check out the price and see what they are. I don't know.
I haven't looked into it, but you got to do something because it's just a pain.
Do you want to touch on Dennis Fire?
Oh, did I skip that? I did. Oh, under delinquent utility bills, we have an outstanding billing we've been trying to collect for, 4 or 5 months. And it's $21.49, which I feel it's not worth going to collections for. It'll cost us more than that, or it'll cost us that just to send another certified letter. Otherwise, I'd look for a motion to waive the fee of $21.49.
Motion made and seconded to waive the fee at $21.49 for who is it?
Dennis Byerly.
Dennis. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Is that a state or whatever?
I have no idea what it is. It costs that much to send a stupid certified letter, so.
You haven't given it in?
No. And then one other thing I got, liability coverage waiver form. We do this every year. I think it's in your packet there. Just need approval for insurance coverage is that the city agrees to not waive the monetary limits on municipal tort liability established in Minnesota Statute Section 466-04. So,
and there's an explanation up top there. If the member does not waive the statutory limit, an individual claim will be able to cover no more than $500,000 on any claim to which the statutory tort limits apply. If the member waives the statutory limits, does not purchase excess liability coverage, a single claimant could potentially recover up to $2 million, which then could put the city on the hook for $1.5 million. So hence the reason we would want to have coverage for that difference.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to go along with the liability coverage.
Waiver.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll go on to the July 20th audit claims.
With the July claims, I went through them and made some corrections, and they all have to deal with the ATCH payments. The old ATCH payments that were in there were incorrect, and I went in and made the appropriate corrections to the ATCH payments, which resulted in a difference of a negative $2,544.37 due to some of these items, as in para claim there and the Wells Fargo claim, they doubled up. And then the EFTPS claim, the amount was incorrect. And then the claims for Department of Revenue and the Department of Labor and Industry and the Wells Fargo, other Wells Fargo for $2,250, them three claims were added. So hopefully you kind of follow, but them are the corrections made. I just noticed that when I got back on vacation that the July claims didn't come out. So after I did month end and did the corrections, I corrected the claims list to reflect that.
Any more discussion, or is there looking for a motion?
I've got a question about the century bills. One is $300 for a month, another one is $300 for a month, another one is $300 for a month, and then one for $148. That's, the $300 is about twice what it should be.
I will look into that.
Yeah, the September one is $148, which is a bit high, but it's right. The other one's for $300. Way out of second.
Well, they've been approved already, but we'll have to check in.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
So basically, I'm looking for a motion to put the changes to the six ad payments and that the negative $2,544.37.
Will be
a okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the changes to the six ATCH payments for a negative total of $2,544.37. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the August.
Remove the funds for non-cash payments in September of 18099 and 18102 for a total of 85 cents a week.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the additional ATCH payments. And the text number, let's say 18100?
18099.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, 18100.
18100 to 18102. Total $8,577.53. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the September claims. Any questions? And we'll look for a motion.
Four ATCH payments, check numbers 18103 to 18137, for total 33,646.98. Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the four ATCH payments, and checks number 18103 to 18137, for a total of $33,626.98. Opposed? Carried. Move on to the council reports. Mr. Oldhams?
I have nothing other than what I talked about the four buildings. Everything.
Yeah, look into that, because you're right.
Bob?
But can we want to back up and just check with Mr. Odoms that I know we had a letter last meeting. We really didn't discuss it too much, but one of the things in there was that you're not looking at or checking the city emails. Right. Are you checking them, or so you're not getting anything I send you? I guess then I'm just trying to see how I can get that information to you. I don't want you to be left out on.
Because like regular email.
So if you just want to write that down and give it to me, right, that way I can at least, you know, get everything forward to you so you're receiving it. That's all I have.
The only thing I have is Jeremy is doing a good job of keeping up, keeping on the pressure on Jaguar, but they don't seem to be responding to him. Just so long as we can keep that, get them down here. So
yeah, I have a note to get on them.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Chris?
Just the first thing you notice, there's a number of pieces in the packet from the Southwest Transit meeting that took place the other day. Just more of it's just more for informational purposes. If you have any questions in regards to whether there's going to be a special session or not, there's still conversation about it. But this Transportation Alliance, this is kind of where they're sitting on the bill. Just you have the Senate version, the House version, and the governor we'd like to see happen. So just to give you an idea where everything is sitting in regards to that. That meeting ran a little bit longer because they had the different legislative candidates there too from the different groups that are impacted along the 212 corridor, kind of give them their two cents whether they're running for or whatever they end up doing in that. But right now they're still in the process of trying to figure out if 212 is going to be a corridor or not. So that's pretty close to what it is. And the other thing, alliance projects that have been completed in town. Hopefully you guys have noticed the trees in the park and that. And then we did finish, the painting did finally get finished and the stencil is up at the hall and that. Jimmy, I think you have a picture of it, right?
Yes.
So you get a chance to go up there and take a look at it. It looks really nice up there now. And unfortunately, it makes the east side of the hall not look so attractive because of the new paint and all of that.
Well, I know that Jerry said that they were looking at getting an estimate on the paneling painting. Are the city going to do that, or are the Lions looking to chip some money in for that too? Or
well, I have an idea for that since you brought it up.
Yeah.
We have about $6,000 in an old fund that we did when we did fundraisers for the hall. That's sitting in the city savings account for hall renovations. So it's a possibility that that can be used for some hall improvements. So that's something I'll discuss at the next budget meeting.
Yeah. Otherwise, there's always the possibility that the Lions either foot the bill or chip in for that as well.
Well, they don't necessarily have to foot the bill since they put in the bill for the other painting. Maybe they possibly could chip in a little bit, you know, you never know. So,
well, and
something to bring up at the board meeting.
Lions are using that project, that tree project, as their legacy project for, this is a 100-year anniversary for the Lions International and that. And so one of the things we're going to be doing is we're going to give a plaque and a script to the city. An appreciation of the use of the hall in exchange of what we do in the city and that as well. But that'll be coming forward. The city festival celebration, Chief and I were the only two that were there at the meeting. Others had various reasons why they couldn't be at the meeting. We just kind of discussed some potential options about moving forward. What we would really like to see is if we could get some more community members involved in that process. So if you know of anybody that would want to help with that committee or help keep the city festival going moving forward, have the contact via the chief
so that way we can coordinate that going forward. What we would really like to see is that the core group that is in, that is going to move this ball forward is not necessarily affiliated with any of the other groups in town. And the reason why that thought process is because we're trying to get away a little bit from kind of the old, you know, lines that were drawn in the sand from different groups in regards to who wants to work with who and who doesn't want to work with who. Like, oh, this person said this way back then, and try to get rid of some of that as much as we can. And also try to get more buy-in from this, you know, from people in the city, which would be nice, as well as this is kind of celebrating where we all live. So that's the idea. There is an avenue that we can make the group a 501c at a very low cost. So that would be a very big benefit as well. So that way the other groups in town, if they wanted to volunteer or to also maybe contribute some funds towards helping the city festival, they could do so in a donation standpoint. And then plus it would be easier for them to donate the money back to the city as well. So that's where that's going. And we're hopefully going to have another meeting here either the end of this month or the beginning of next month. The last item there, the Bloodmobile volunteer. Right now, Anime Elf Key is one of the volunteers that helps out coordinate that day. She is stepping away from her role, and so we're kind of letting everybody know in town if you want to fill that role. Essentially what she did was she just coordinated the day. You know, made, you know, contacted those who've given blood in the past, say, hey, when would you like to come in and do the blood? She's there all day checking people in, checking people out, making sure that nobody, you know, has any medical issues as they're giving away blood. And at the same token, just, you know, doing all the other paperwork that goes along with it and coordinating it. It's not, although she is a Lions member, the Bloodmobile volunteer is not a Lions sponsored event in that. So if you know of anybody who would like to volunteer their time for that, you know, contact me or contact Anime, and let us know. They're, like I said, she's stepping away from it. They need somebody to fill it. We, clients don't need somebody to fill it. So, that's all I have.
Steve,
have we heard anything on Doris and Milky's replacement?
Nothing further.
Should we go on?
Okay. My keys are on.
Could be my car.
No, nothing further on Milky's building.
Okay. Or the siding or the garage?
Nope. Nothing new to report on any of the building inspection.
Is it you?
Might have been. I don't know how it went up.
Anything else?
I do have one other thing. I got a little disappointed with the Hamburg City Council. I am purchasing some land in town here. I got a phone call at the place I work from this person, and this person was a little bit upset at what was said, that there were some people from Hamburg here that wanted to buy this property out from underneath me so that I wouldn't have it. But apparently this property had been for sale for 40 years. And she was very, very disappointed in the city of Hamburg's council. And I apologize to her from the city of Hamburg and the council that it was not supposed to happen, and I don't think it was even talked about in a council meeting about any of this property being bought from the city. So I am really disappointed in the city of Hamburg. I thought we was a council here, but it turned out that it's basically one for all. You're just on your own. You just look out for the knife, that's all I'm saying. Jeremy knows all about it. Anybody wants to know anything else about it, just Dr. Jeremy, I'll tell you the truth about it.
That's all I have.
I got one thing here. You know, we acted upon it. The accountant's $4,500 for something from 2015.
That's a financial statement, financial report. That's the final payment for the audit.
Okay, so that's nothing.
So it's not
over and above.
No, no. That's included with the contracted services for the audit. Yep, right. That's what that's for.
Well, I've got nothing else. I guess I'll take one up for adjournment.
So moved.
For a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Very good.